It's time to watch along.
Now, watch this, everybody.
With a monster who knows the difference between a wrist watch and a wrist lock. The Salamonster.
What's going on, guys? It is watch along time. I am the Salamonster. We're doing things a little bit differently tonight. This is the first watch along that I have done here on the channel. Some of you have asked about it. I figured tonight would be a great night to give it a shot. So this is a test. I don't know that we'll do any more of these, but I figure for a 1 hour rampage show, why not give it a whirl here? So the show is literally starting now. The way this is going to work is very simple. I'm obviously watching it. I can't show you any video. I will not be playing any audio. You guys can watch along with me on TNT, wherever you may be. And we'll talk about the show as we go along here. And during the commercial breaks, we could do super chat reads. We can interact. I hear Baltimore are playing. They are kicking off with the finals of the AEW Tag Team Title Eliminator Tournament. It's going to be Jurassic Express taking on the Lucha Bros. This right here should be a banger of a match, as they say. This is a taped show, by the way. I didn't look at the results or anything, but this was taped in Milwaukee on Wednesday. So this is not airing live tonight. I'm all ready for tonight's show. Of course, the winner, as Excalibur is explaining right now, the winner of this match will meet the Young Bucks for the AEW Tag Team Titles at All Out in Chicago, and I'm going to have some news. I'm going to have a bit of spoiler news about a potential debut that's going to be taking place at All Out in Chicago in a couple of weeks. This is late-breaking stuff from our friends at BodySlam.net. So the Lucha Bros got no entrance on TV. They went right to Jurassic Express. Justin Roberts is doing the ring intro, so poor Lucha Bros, who are probably losing this match. Again, I haven't looked at anything yet. My guess, when I talked about this the other night, was that Jurassic Express would win. They would get their cage match with the Young Bucks at the pay-per-view, but we'll see. Two of the best teams right now in all AEW going toe-to-toe. It should be great. I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be the match of the night right here. There is only three matches announced for this show, so there aren't that many matches airing on the actual TV show tonight. And here come the Young Douches. They are coming out now. So the match is underway. I'm just going to chime in with random thoughts here. I don't want to talk over the whole match. You have to give this some time. This could be a kick-ass match. Got Rey Fénix and Jungle Boy. Two of the fastest rising young stars in all of AEW. Oh no, I just heard Chris Jericho's voice. Oh God. I forgot he was on commentary for this show. I forgot they were bringing him back this week. Yeah, I know I've mentioned it before as far as the tag team division goes in AEW, but I think it bears repeating that they really have the best tag team division in wrestling right now. Yeah, I give a lot of praise to the women and the division with the women in NXT, which is still very strong, even though they've lost a few women to the main roster. But you've got these two teams right here, Jurassic Express, Lucha Bros, you got the Young Bucks, FTR, Santana and Ortiz, Best Friends, Dark Order, Butcher and the Blade, even though the Butcher is out with an injury right now, Private Party, Top Flight, all right, Varsity Blondes, they're trying to give them a push, they're trying to work their way up, the Acclaimed, Seidel Brothers 2.0. I mean, it's a stacked tag team division that they have. It really is one of the strong points of the company. The women's division, less so. The women's division still needs some work, but they're going to be bringing in someone, I think, at the pay-per-view that you could probably guess, who I think is going to be a nice little boost to that division. All right, we got Miro on the show tonight. Apparently, Miro is going to be doing a promo a little bit later. The Redeemer. I am enjoying this new Miro gimmick. It is much better than the stuff they were having him do or that he wanted to do at the beginning of his run. This right here is the Miro I think a lot of us were waiting for. All four men are down. It's Marco Stunt jumping around. Like, look at this. Giannis is standing up. Is he going to get involved here? I want to see him squash Marco Stunt. am I saying his name wrong? Is it Giannis? All right, they're going to their first break, 90 seconds. While they do that, I do want to acknowledge something here. I want to put a picture up on the screen for those of you who are watching. I mean, you may not see this if you're listening on the download. But I want to acknowledge that today is the day that Luna Vachon passed away, 11 years ago today. And Luna Vachon does not get talked about enough, I don't think. And that picture that you see there, that was me. The famous Monday Night Raw where I talked about being in the luxury box. She was one of the wrestlers I got to meet in person. And I got to chat with her for a little bit. And she could not have been nicer. It was one of the best experiences in terms of meeting wrestlers that day. Her and Owen and Mick Foley and Mark Henry. But she was just the complete opposite of her character on TV. She was a total sweetheart. And it's a shame that, you know, she... Her story ended the way that it did, as prematurely as it did. And she is going to be getting the Dark Side of the Ring treatment. Dark Side of the Ring Season 3 is coming back in a few weeks. Second half of Season 3. And they're going to have an entire episode devoted to Luna Vachon, which I'm looking forward to. But I wanted to acknowledge that 11 years ago today, we lost one of the greats in terms of women's wrestling. Yes, medium solo. I was a bit younger in that photo. That was Innocent Solomonster before he was corrupted. All right, here we go. They're back live. Rey Fénix doing Rey Fénix things, jumping around here. It's hard to keep track of this guy. One of my least favorite things to do, to be honest with you, is reviewing a Rey Fénix match when I do the post-show reviews. It's impossible to keep up with what this guy does. Nice. Stereo dives, one by Rey Fénix on one side of the ring, one by Jungle Boy on the other. Okay, so I've been corrected. It is Giannis. It is not Giannis, it is Giannis. See, I when I see a name spelled out, I try to say it, you know, phonetically. But sometimes I need to be corrected. So it is Giannis. Giannis is in the front row. Oh... Luchasaurus tags in. He's in there now with Penta. Yeah, we are going to hear from CM Punk and Darby Allin. This was something that they announced late, that they would be on the show. I don't think they're actually going to be in the ring or anything. I think it's going to be probably pre-recorded comments, video package, hyping their match at the pay-per-view. Black Mass. Luchasaurus with the Black Mass kick. And choke-slamming Rey Fénix onto Penta. There's the standing moonsault. And Penta kicks out. Johnny in the chat says the crowd sounds like a 205 live crowd. Well, two things. Number one, I have my volume in my headphones turned down very low, so I can't get the full scope of the crowd reaction. But also, keep in mind, these matches were taped after Dynamite on Wednesday. So this crowd was probably already quite tired by the time they sent these guys out here. We got Rey Fénix in there now with Luchasaurus. Here comes Fénix. There it is, that rolling kick right to the face. What's he going to do here? Please don't die. That's what I think when I watch Rey Fénix. Please don't die. He's going up. He's going to do something here. Giannis is excited, man. Giannis is ready to jump the barricade here. Paying his respects to Eddie Guerrero. Gigantic frog splash. Nah, that's not enough. Giannis can't believe it. He's got his fisherman's hat on, like he's ready to go catch some trout. What kind of hat is that? He's having fun, though. He looks like he's having a blast. Jungle Boy back in with Rey Fénix. Oh! Oh, my God. Jungle Boy turns him inside out with Larry. There's the Poison Rana. Near fall only. Oh, it's always fun to watch these two teams. Two of my favorites here. Tiger Driver by Jungle Boy. And there's the snare trap. Is Rey Fénix going to tap? Of course he's not. Here comes... Oh my goodness. Penta with a kick right to the side of the head. I am going to get to your super chats, by the way. I am going to get to your super chats. In fact, next commercial break, I'll start reading them. And by the way, we're going to stick around a little while. When the show's over, it's not going to be a hard... stop at 11 o'clock. We'll hang around for a little while. We're not gonna depart so quickly, but doing this, you know, in this format, again, this is just a one-week experiment. That was close. Penta just got the closest near fall you could possibly get on Jungle Boy. Paul Turner pulled up just at the last second. It kind of feels like we're heading into the finish here. This match hasn't been going on for that long. I'll be surprised if it ends right here. I expected it to be a little bit longer. They don't have a lot of matches here in the one-hour format, so they could give this, if they wanted to, 15 minutes. All right, Luchasaurus has Penta on the outside. There's... Uh-oh. Rey Fénix walking across the ropes. Jungle Boy's up top. Someone's getting hurt. One thing with a tape show is, you know, nobody broke their neck or else you would have heard about it. And Rey Fénix, with the Rana, sends Jungle Boy off the top rope onto his Jurassic friends here, and they all get wiped out. And Giannis is pleased. He's Giannis here in New York. Yeah, DJT doesn't like how they all just stand. I don't like that either, but they do it in every company. They do it on the main roster. They do it in NXT. They do it a lot here in AEW. But you can only say it so many times. Obviously, I don't like it, but what are you going to do? They all do it. It's like a sickness. It spreads like a virus. It does look very dumb. All right, here comes Thoracic Express. No, Rey Fénix counters out of it. Down goes Luchasaurus. All right, we got Fénix. We got Jungle Boy on the apron. I have no idea what they're going to do here. Oh! Oh, my God. Penta with a destroyer on the apron. That takes out poor Jungle Boy. So now we're down to Luchasaurus in the ring here with Rey Fénix. Fénix hits a destroyer of his own. Is this it? No. That's one of those strong style kickouts at one by Luchasaurus. You know what? They might pull this out. Lucha Bros might pull this out. Double super kick, down goes the dinosaur. Nope, my prediction is still alive. Luchasaurus kicks out. All right, they're going for their finish here. Wow, okay. All right, well, I was wrong. The Lucha Bros are going all out. They're going to challenge the Young Bucks for the AEW Tag Team titles. Not that I'm upset about that match. I'm sure that's going to be a fine match, but I was expecting a Jurassic Express win here. So the young douches are coming down the aisle. There we go. There's the attack from behind. Yeah, that surprised me. I have to say, that really surprised me. But, you know, if you've heard me talk on these streams, I'm really gung-ho about the idea of having Santana and Ortiz go over FTR and them be the ones to challenge the Bucks for the belts, possibly in New York next month. So, I'm not really looking for a tag title change at All Out. That would kind of ruin the plan if they did that. I wouldn't take the belts off the Bucks at the pay-per-view. I would hold off. I would do it at Arthur Ashe. That's going to be the biggest crowd they've had for an AEW show. They're going to have over 17,000. Maybe by showtime, it could be more. It could be 18,000 people in the building that day. So, I would save at least one big title change for that show on the 22nd. Anyway, Bucks get chased away. We got the baby faces all celebrating. Look at this. They're all best friends now. They're all best friends. So here we go. Up next, we have a CM Punk and Darby Allin. We're going to hear from them. Comments from Punk and Darby coming up next after this break. Yes, Tony Jimenez in the chat. He can't believe we have a live watch along going. This is the first time ever here on the Solid Monster channel. We are doing a watch-along. This is a little experiment. We're not going to be doing this every week. All right, they're a commercial. Let me take a gander over here at some of your super chats and see what you guys are talking about here. Let's see. DiLorenzo is dropping some super chat love. Hey, Solid Monster, hope you are well. DiLorenzo, I'm doing great. I got you guys. Right now, we got over 600 people hanging out and growing. I got my screwdriver here. I'm doing well here on a Friday night. Getting ready for Sound Off 719 on Sunday. Putting the work in. Got two more weeks of This Week in History. So we got a lot of work left to do. Steve Joseph dropping $2. Are you going live after the NWA pay-per-view tomorrow night? No, I am not. I will be doing final preparations for the podcast on Sunday, but if anything major happens, I will talk about it on the sound off. Cody Moore, why is it that Finn Balor can survive in the WWE not being a big guy, but Adam Cole can't? Who's to say that Adam Cole can or can't? I would rather not take the chance to find out. I would rather Adam Cole spread his wings somewhere else for a few years. And if it doesn't work out, he can always go back to WWE. He's still in his early 30s. He's a relatively young guy. The odds are against him. Adam Cole, relative to the other people on that roster, including Finn Balor, is a small man. I don't have a lot of high hopes for him. I was terrified that he was going to debut on SmackDown tonight. I thought for sure they were promoting a mystery opponent for Dominic Mysterio. I said, ah, shit, here comes Adam Cole. And then out came Sami Zayn, and I breathed a sigh of relief, and I wiped some sweat off my brow. I thought for sure he was coming out. I saw Adam Cole canceled one of his Twitch streams, which he never does. He apologized to all of his Twitch members. I'm sorry, something came up. I can't go live tonight. I go, oh, God, he's going to be on SmackDown. And thank God he wasn't. I want Adam Cole to go somewhere else. That's what I want. Adam Cole is going to make the decision that he feels is in his best interest. But as a fan of his work, I would rather see him leave and go somewhere else. And the fact that he wasn't on SmackDown tonight, and today is the day. He is officially a free agent with no non-compete, reportedly. Which makes sense. If his contract expired, then there would be no non-compete. He is officially a free agent. So he could go, he could sign with WWE, he could sign with AEW. Why wouldn't he want to test the waters, right? It's like any sports athlete, right? Get the best deal you possibly can. He would be a fool to sign that contract. Of course, become a free agent. They're still going to make offers. But I would like to see him go somewhere else. Hey, Oliver in the chat, you rock too, man. Oliver says you rock. I love it. Oliver knows, see? Tamara Davis, did you enjoy or do you enjoy the loose officiating in AEW matches? It does annoy me a bit, I'm not going to lie. Their officiating definitely needs some work. And Lou Rivera, isn't Jericho great on commentary? My favorite part is when he goes, ah, loud noises. Oh, yeah. Jericho can be very good at commentary. But when he goes the other way and he's completely obnoxious, it's just impossible to listen to. All right, they're back. Rampage is back. Let's see what's coming up next. And we'll get back to your super chat. Send them on in. I'm going to read all your messages before we're done tonight. All right, so they just threw it to a video package. I think this is probably promoting Punk and Darby, so we'll... Let's go to one more super chat. Dry chicken without flavor dropping $5. Hey, dry chicken, what's going on, man? He says, it is a matter of time. Where are you going to have Giannis and Tom Brady against the Young Bucks for the tag team titles? The Battle of the Bucks, LOL. Thought that was clever, didn't you? You're very proud of yourself for that. Temjin Zephyr, do you own any AEW figures, Solomonster? I do not. I don't buy figure. I mean, the figures I have are classic stuff, you know, so I have it in boxes or I have some on display. But no, I don't buy figures. And Hank dropping $1.99 says those bucks ain't right, I tell you. Roger Rubio says enjoying the show. Awesome. Yeah, you guys will let me know. Again, we're doing this as an experiment tonight. So I don't have any plans of doing this every week. But if this goes well, you know, I'm open to doing them from time to time. The watch-along format, a little bit different. A little bit of a change. All right, so they're talking about All Out in Chicago on September 5th, which I'm going to talk about. Are they going back to commercial again? Let's see. No, they're promoting a countdown special for All Out next Friday at 11 on TNT. Oh, I think this might be Miro. It is. It is God's favorite champion. The TNT champion is coming out. He just threw Fuego del Sol out of the entrance tunnel. Well, you get a contract, this is what happens. You're going to get the shit kicked out of you. That was quite the great entrance, I will say. Vero stole Lance Archer's gimmick. He did. Oh, Tony, I didn't even realize Tony Schiavone's in the ring. He doesn't want any part of this. All right, Miro has the mic. Let's see what he has to say. As Fuego del Sol lies at his feet, begging for mercy. Oh, he ripped his mask off. He demasked Fuego del Sol. Look at this. Ugh, put the mask back. That's what Kevin Nash did to Rey Mysterio when he unmasked. Put it back on. All right, here we go. Now, this is what we were talking about on the Dynamite stream on Wednesday. This seemed fairly obvious. Here comes Eddie Kingston. This is going to set up a match at All Out, I assume, for the TNT title. Eddie is about to speak. Let's see what he has. Oh, no, wait. No, he's putting the mic down. He's coming down to the ring. The time for talking is over. Eddie Kingston now charging Miro and getting his ass beaten down for it. That was not very smart. No, he's fighting back, though. Wow. How about that? An exploder suplex by Eddie Kingston. You know, Miro is no small man. All right, here come all the refs. Here come all the referees and Rick Knox. I use the term referee for him loosely. All right, well, we're having a pull apart here. But I would be surprised if this doesn't get added to the pay-per-view. I would hold it for the pay-per-view. All right, so there you go. Simple segment. It sets up the match now. You know, there is another interesting scenario here that could play out, which is that, you know, I keep talking about Santana and Ortiz winning the tag belts at Arthur Ashe in Queens. You know, if Eddie Kingston were to win a championship in New York, for him and his fans, that would be huge. Do you actually have him beat Miro, though, and take the TNT title in New York? You know, it would be a great moment. I really don't want to interrupt Miro's title reign, though, for some kind of token win where he would probably just win it back. You could do it. But I think if you're going to do the title change with Santana and Ortiz, I wouldn't do both. I would do one or the other. I wouldn't take that title off Miro. All right, so coming up next, we have the women's match. It's going to be Ty Conti against The Bunny, who will be hopping into action. So I said earlier that I had some news. I had some breaking news that I didn't have a chance to cover here at the beginning of the stream. But we had a news update earlier tonight from bodyslam.net. And the report is that, now if you don't want to know about any surprise appearances or debuts at All Out, you might want to mute this for 60 seconds. But there is going to be at least one big surprise at All Out. There is going to be one debut per bodyslam.net, and that is going to be the debut of Bryan Danielson. Now, his debut is not really a surprise, but I think a lot of us just assumed, and the news report seemed to indicate, that Tony Khan was holding off on his debut for the big stadium show in New York next month. Per bodyslam.net, that is no longer the case. They are bumping up his debut for All Out in Chicago because of COVID concerns. There are tightening restrictions here in New York. I mean, as somebody in New York, I can tell you there are some tightening restrictions. And I think what they're afraid of with all this Delta shit that's going on right now, it sounds like they just don't want to take the chance. There's still a month to go. A lot can happen in the next 3.5 weeks. And it sounds like AEW just does not want to take the chance of something happening that would either cause the show to be relocated, would restrict the size of the crowd, anything like that. So it sounds like COVID concerns have caused them to bump up his debut, which I can understand. And, you know, look, I'm worried about that too. I don't want him to come out to, you know, 1,000 people or 100 people. I want him to come out to a big crowd and get a big reaction like Punk did in Chicago. It's going to be one of those great moments. So that is the latest update on Danielson, is that he will be, and now you might say, well, then what does he do? How does he arrive? How does he debut? Honestly, you know, I look at this card and, you know, Punk and Darby is the real main event. Doesn't mean it's going to go on last, but that is the real main event. I would just envision, you know, Kenny Omega winning, and then we hear the tune of Final Countdown. And out comes Bryan Danielson to confront Kenny Omega, or even if it's just from afar, he just kind of comes out. But something, you know, where he comes out maybe after Omega's match. That would make the biggest impact. You could just introduce him the way they did Christian Cage at, was a Revolution a number of months ago, where he just comes out. He just comes out just to make an entrance. You know, I don't see him interfering in a match. I don't see him attacking anybody. It would be dumb to debut him as a heel. But it looks like All Out is going to be the date for Bryan Danielson. He is on his way in. I think we all knew that anyway after that little comment that Punk made on Dynamite on Wednesday. As Punk said, you might just have to be a little bit more patient. If you are a Bryan Danielson fan, be a little patient, he said, right? Be a little patient. Coggy's dropping $20, Super Chat. What a nice surprise. Thanks for the watch along. I'm 30 seconds behind you. Cheers to everybody in the chat. Fire first match. This is a very good way to avoid insipid Jericho commentary. Now you know why I did this tonight. No. Coggy's, thank you. Thank you, Coggies. Yeah, I thought the opening match was really good, but it was, honestly, I thought it would get a little bit more time than it did. It wasn't a blowaway match. It was very good, but it wasn't anything I think that a month from now we're going to look back on and remember. So here comes Ty Conti for her match against the Bunny. They are, of course, in that Women's Casino Battle Royal. Both of them are in the Battle Royal at All Out on September 5th. I did jot down the names so far that they have announced officially for the Battle Royal. They are Ty Conti, The Bunny, Thunder Rosa. We've got Big Swole, Julia Hart, Nyla Rose, Red Velvet, Penelope Ford, and Diamante. Those are the official names announced so far. You have to think Jamie Hayter, you know, Jade Cargill will probably be in there. And I'm still saying what I'm sure a lot of other people are saying, which is that the Joker mystery entrant is going to be Ruby Riott under her new Ruby Soho name. That's what I do believe. So we'll have to wait until next week. We'll get more names announced then. But that is the current lineup for the Women's Battle Royal, which I believe is on the buy-in pre-show. I don't believe it's on the main card. So Bunny has her husband, The Blade, in her corner. We're still waiting on The Butcher to return. He's nursing an injury. I have no idea when he's expected back. But for those wondering where the hell did The Butcher go, he went back to the butcher shop. He's cutting his meat. He'll be back soon. You know, he plays in a band, too. So it's possible. I thought maybe he was on tour. But apparently he's injured. JB in the chat says Jamie Hayter is like 5 times better than most realize. You may be right, but I'll tell you what, after that match with Red Velvet on Wednesday, you didn't see it on Dynamite. That match was no good. And I'm not just talking about the standing moonsault where Red Velvet did a face plant. That match was no good. So the main event this week, at the end of this show, is going to be Kenny Omega and Brandon Cutler, who should never be in a main event, taking on Christian Cage and Frankie Kazarian. And poor Gangrel. I'm sure all of you heard about Gangrel's story, where he was supposed to do something with AEW on Dynamite this week, and once WWE did the whole bloodbath or brood bath or whatever the hell they called it on SmackDown last week, and then Edge did the brood entrance at SummerSlam, which was awesome, that was the end of AEW's plans for Gangrel. He was all ready to hop on a flight to Milwaukee, and the day before he got the call saying, we're going to go in a different direction. And he said he knew. As soon as he saw what they did on WWE television, he said, I just knew. And then the phone call came. You know, they've used Gangrel before. He made a cameo in one of those, like, Final Deletion-type matches that Matt Hardy was in many months ago. So they've done business with him before. They brought him in. But I don't think it would have been the same, though, without the brood music. But anyway, the reason I bring it up is I wonder, people are like, oh, well, what would he have done? Why would they bring him in? I have to assume it would have had something to do with Christian and his history, his background, right? We had Don Callis talking about Christian's history on the Canadian independence scene on Dynamite this week. Maybe they would have tied in his past with Gangrel. And who knows, maybe tonight the original plan would have been for Christian to team up with Gangrel against Kenny Omega and Brandon Cutler. And Frankie Kazarian got slotted in. That's just me speculating. I don't know. Maybe we would have had a Gangrel match on TV tonight. Ty Conti is doing a number here on the Bunny. She could be looking to finish her off here. Look at that bicycle kick. That was like a Huluva kick right in the corner. Ty hits the ropes. Another one. She's hitting the ropes again. A third bicycle kick. And now she gives the signal it's over. Ty Conti says it's over. Uh-oh, here comes Penelope Ford. There it is. Knee to the face. That's like a go to sleep. Or Ty KO, she calls it. Oh boy, here comes the distraction. You just noticed Penelope Ford at ringside. Of course, she's distracted. Dumb baby face syndrome. Dumb baby face syndrome. And of course, look at this. The distraction. The blade just handed Nux or something to the Bunny. Referee didn't see it. Ty Conti turns around. Boom. There it is. There's the knockout. The power of the punch, as William Regal would call it. One, two. Thanks for coming. A finish straight out of Monday Night Raw. The Bunny picks up the win. She'll get a carrot for dinner tonight. Ty Conti has this glazed over look on her face, like she just had to sit through 3 hours of Raw. She has no idea where she is. All right, so we have a little alliance, I guess, here between Penelope Ford and the Bunny. I don't know why. I guess the enemy of my enemy is my friend, I guess. But yes, both of them, as Excalibur just said, are going to be in the Battle Royal at All Out. You know, Anna Jay should be coming back soon. Anna Jay, best friends with Ty Conti. Haven't heard any updates on her. She had that shoulder surgery many months ago, but she should be coming back soon. Kagi says, Hardy Family Office Penelope. Is she officially in the Hardy Family Office? I didn't think she was part of that group. All right, so they just went to commercial. So let me pick up with some more of your messages here, because we're hanging out tonight. In fact, what we might be doing, because I haven't done this in a while, so I'm going to put this on the bottom of your screen, and this... Don't do anything yet, because I haven't set it up yet, but we might take phone calls. I'm just scrolling the number on the bottom of your screen, and when this show is over, we'll read whatever super chats are left that I haven't gotten to, and I think we might actually take some calls tonight, so stay tuned for that. We haven't taken calls in a few months. I know some of you have asked about that. Let's see here. Vincent Millage is taking my boyfriend to his first wrestling show tomorrow in Seattle to see the Defy show. So glad to have live wrestling shows back, he says. Last show I went to was NXT Portland. Well, enjoy the show. I haven't been to a live wrestling show in a very long time, and I will not be for a while, but enjoy the show. Dried Chicken Without Flavor, Adam Cole. September 3rd, 2021, Rampage. He's calling Adam Cole's debut for Rampage next Friday. That's the go-home show to All Out. Would you have Adam Cole debut on the go-home show? You know, I guess if they think he might be worth a few extra buys, you know, if people might tune into All Out if they think Adam Cole's going to be there, I guess, but... I don't know. I don't think I would debut him on that show. King Bling, dropping $5. Have you ever been recognized outside of a wrestling event? If so, what is the story? Like walking outside or shopping at a store? Yes, I have, actually. In fact, the person who recognized me might be watching the stream right now. You know who you are. I was in the city. I was in my suit. I had left work. I was walking down Fifth Avenue. I don't remember if I was with my boss or not. And I heard, Solomonster. And I turned around, because I didn't know. I was like, where is this coming from? Turn around, and it was somebody who recognized me. They listened to the podcast. Just walking down Fifth. And think of all the people who are walking down Fifth Avenue in the middle of a weekday in New York City. And this person recognized me. It's still very weird when that happens. There's a couple of other instances of that. Not too many. But that's the one that always makes me laugh. Let's see. Who we got here? Anikuno. I say debut Adam Cole in Orlando, 7 miles down the road from Full Sail on October 23rd on AEW Dynamite. Nah, too long. Too long. If they can sign him in the next few days, coming weeks, I wouldn't hold off that long. I mean, there is something to be said for not debuting everybody all at once, right? Punk just debuted. Danielson looks like he's going to debut it all out. Ruby Soho might debut it all out. I mean, you could spread them out a little bit. Maybe you save Cole for the stadium show in New York. They're so worried about maybe something happens and they can't do Brian on that night. Okay, we'll do Brian earlier. Maybe save Adam Cole for New York. You'd get a great reaction. All right, so they're back. They're running down the card for the pay-per-view right now. Rasslin Reeds in the chat. Yes, Kip Sabian is injured. That is why he is not on TV. So, believe he had a shoulder injury, some kind of arm injury, and he is out for a little while longer. All right, so while they run down the pay-per-view card, which I already did for you on Wednesday, haha. Russell Segui, enjoying as always. Thank you, Russ. DiLorenzo. Do a watch-along of Monday Night Raw just to experience your pain. Why would you even want to put me through that? 3 hours? Watching along for 3 hours of Monday Night Raw? I think the video would probably do really well, actually. All right, so they're doing a video package now recapping the feud with Brian Cage and Will Hobbs. Epsilon Sama told you Brian Danielson was all elite. I told you he was all elite weeks ago. You're late to the party, my friend. You got to start tuning in every week. I told you guys this a month ago. All right, they're running down the card for Dynamite next Wednesday, which includes Darby Allin. No, wait, this is next Friday. Darby Allin against Daniel Garcia, one-on-one. Garcia attacked Darby on Wednesday. So they're going to have a singles match next Friday. Mark Henry is backstage. We got Christian Cage on one side of the screen, Kenny Omega on the other with his entourage. Look at Mark Henry. Look at this guy. The Walter fucking Cronkite of AEW Rampage. So the pre-match promo here before the main event. Kenny Omega is speaking. Epsilon in the chat says, I remember back in the day when you were denying it. I was kayfabing you. I was kayfabing you. Who says kayfabe is dead? Yeah, Christian says he doesn't want any excuses out of Kenny Omega. He said he's taking the big one. He's taking the big one at All Out when he challenges Omega for the AEW Championship. That Impact title, that Impact Championship over his shoulder is getting more pub just being there than it has in years. Uh-oh, Kenny Omega, or not Kenny Omega, but Frankie Kazarian just called Brandon Cutler a bitch-ass stooge. You know he's serious when they start dropping the word bitch. All right, that main event is coming up. Look at this, we're already at the main event. Look at this, I love it. This hour format is perfect, I love it. I love these hour-long shows. Off Leather Wings, Gangrel is the head trainer of my wrestling school now. Oh, very cool. Gangrel had a school, and there was some kind of fallout, and he got booted from his own school, so I guess he landed somewhere new. Brandon V says Adam Cole debuts it All Out, helping the Bucks win their cage match, reunite with the Elite. That is my guess. That is interesting. You know, I hadn't thought about that. Maybe he helps the Young Bucks retain. Interesting. I could see that. I could definitely see that. DHV Smoke and Trees. Where do you see the Dark Order story going? I think they split into a Dark Light Order, one for Adam Page and the other maybe with a new leader. I don't see that. I think Adam Page and the Dark Order are done. I would not go back to that story. It was something for him to do. It really, I mean, it was more elevating the Dark Order than doing anything to elevate Adam Page. I would not reunite them. There's no reason to put them back together again. But I do think there's going to be dissension in the ranks until they find a new leader. I know in a lot of the social media content, they talk about not wanting to replace Brody or not, you know, needing a new leader. But that doesn't mean they're not going to end up with one. Nick Grosso, have you seen the new NXT logo? Oh, boy. And did you watch SmackDown? I did watch SmackDown. And I did see the new NXT logo, and I see everybody complaining about it, and it does look like something that was made in fucking Microsoft Paint, but we got bigger issues to worry about with NXT. I'm worried about the future. I'm more focused on that than I am any kind of fucking logo. Everyone's freaking out about the logo. Meanwhile, we have Nick Khan talking about how they're revamping the entire show, the entire brand, the way they recruit, the way they do everything. The logo is the least of my concerns right now with NXT. Khalid Adam, thoughts on Michael Buffer in AEW? Unnecessary. Michael Buffer, is he like 75 years old now? They don't need Michael, but get Bruce Buffer. Bruce Buffer in AEW, I think, would be cool for a match, like a big main event. We don't need Michael Buffer. Bret Clark. Fucking guy. Bret Clark. Don't think I haven't forgotten about that. All right, so they're a commercial. What I'm going to do right now, I should probably do this now while they're at commercial. Let me go set up the phone lines. So we'll take some calls later. Let me get the phone line set up now so people can start calling in and populate the lines at least. So let me go ahead and do that. I'm going to be back with you in just a second while they're at commercial. So don't go away. Let me get this set up and we'll be back. You're watching a Rampage watch along. Be right back. All right, we are back. Back. Chris Berman, sorry. I lapsed into my Chris Berman impersonation from the Home Run Derby. Phone lines are set up. We're going to take calls a little bit later on. So we're going to wait until the show is over. As we begin this main event, it's Frankie Kazarian and Brandon Cutler starting things out. Let me switch here so we get the phone number on screen. Those of you who are wondering, what is the number? There it is, 989-282-SOLO, 989-282-7656. The lines are open. I only have a handful of them open, so if it's busy, you could try again a little bit later. Boy, you know, when I talked about covering Rampage, I didn't think by week three we'd already have Frankie Kazarian and Brandon Cutler in the ring in our main event. I can't say I'm overly excited about this. Epsilon Sama, Cole was killed by Omega. He will not join the Elite. Well, you ever heard of forgiveness? You can forgive and forget, right? Adam Cole's a very forgiving man. DHV Smoke and Trees, QT Marshall could be the fourth member of the Mean Street Posse. The Mean Street Posse was actually cool. All right, we got Omega in the ring here. Chopping Kazarian in the corner. The Elite Hunter. Got to use his new nickname. The Elite Hunter of AEW is Frankie Kazarian. Now Omega misses a dive into the corner, and now Kazarian going to take over. Side Russian leg sweep. Bret Hart style tags in Christian. Oh, Omega wants no part of Christian. He wants no part. He falls backwards into the corner. And he tags in Cutler. And in he comes. Omega's lackey. Magician Sapphire dropping $10. Solo Monster against Orange Cassidy in a Ray-Bans on a pole match on the Jericho Cruise. You know, I saw that Orange Cassidy has officially been announced for the Jericho Cruise this year. This guy, let me tell you, he was so scared of being in the same place as me. I was on that cruise last year waiting for him. He never showed up. Now he's on the cruise and I'm not. I think this, if I didn't know any better, I'd say this guy's avoiding me. Michael Cuomo, Cassidy must get a sponsorship with Orange Theory. So Cutler is hanging over the top rope. He just got kicked right in the face by Kazarian. We got Nakazawa on the outside. Where are all these scrubs coming from? We got Brandon Cutler and Michael Nakazawa here as part of this main event. I'm not going to be reviewing this show every week if we're going to get matches like this. Just because Omega and Christian are in there doesn't make it any better. Well, there goes Nakazawa over the barricade. And Omega clotheslines Kazarian on the floor. Brett Bullitt in the chat says, Solomonster is a better commentator than Drunk Uncle. I'm not even trying to commentate. I'm just... This is not House of Glory Solomonster. This is just Solomonster just riffing on the show here. Very casually. Here goes Omega with the Lambeau plunge. That was Ken Anderson's old move. Into the moonsault off the middle rope. Going for a cover. That ain't going to be it. Come on, man. What are you even trying to do here? Do you think we're going to buy that as a near fall? Give me a break. Dry chicken without flavor. Whoever is part of the AEW marketing team, they better heavily feature Private Party, Santana and Ortiz, Eddie Kingston, and Statlander for the New York City show. And who you calling Pinhead? Dropping $9.99. I missed the first 5 minutes of the show because on the guide I had seen TBS Rampage. I was like, wait a minute, but shrugged it off. Then after commercials, I realized it was the movie Rampage with The Rock. I didn't even know The Rock did a movie called Rampage. This guy's done so many movies, I can't even keep track of them. That guy is everywhere. And now Brandon Cutler is dropping elbows. He's doing the Ric Flair strut. And he's dropping elbows on Frankie Kazarian. What am I even watching here? And he missed. Well, Cutler goes to tag, and Kenny Omega bails off the apron. So now he's been left alone to die at the hands of Christian Cage. There's a back body drop. Christian with a chop. Not quite a Walter chop. But now he has ripped open Cutler's shirt. He is chopping the shit out of him. Oh, here comes Omega. He's got Christian on his shoulders. One-winged angel. Now Christian slips out. Shoves Omega into Cutler. And now he's got them stacked in the corner. He's doing the 10 punches on the middle rope. As Taz just said, two for the price of one. And now he is going for a Scorpion Death Drop. To Omega. Cutler went for a dive. He totally missed. Christian ducked. There's a reverse DDT to Cutler. Christian looks like he's about ready to finish it off here. I'm just pouring my water here. He's setting up for the spear. He's doing the edge setup for the spear. And Omega just grabbed his feet right out from under him. And he crotched him on the post. I don't think his wife is going to appreciate that very much. So now Callis has Rick Knox, the worst referee in wrestling. He has him distracted. Cutler has Christian's arms behind his back. Here comes Omega. Oh, V-trigger right to Brandon Cutler. And now Kazarian is in. He's delivering blows to Omega. He doesn't see Christian. Here comes the kill switch. He's working for it, but Omega slips out. And, of course, Kenny Omega bails. He's getting out of Dodge. He wants no part of this. And he leaves Michael. He leaves Brandon Cutler all by himself. Here comes the spear. Boom! Cuts him in half. And now he picks him up, and here comes the kill switch. As Omega and Callis take their leave. Here comes the kill switch. Boom! And that's going to be it right there. One, two, three. Christian and Frankie Kazarian pick up the win here. I'm telling you, I think that could have been a spot for Gangrel. I really do. I mean, it makes sense because Kazarian's been going around attacking people, although he doesn't really have a program right now that he's in the middle of. He's just been attacking random people. But that may well have been a spot for Gangrel if all would have worked out for him. See, Edge, look what Edge did to this poor bastard. Fucked him out of a gig. Yeah, he said Edge felt really bad about the whole thing once he told Edge, because they talked on the phone. And he said Edge was devastated when he found out. He goes, I had no idea. I didn't know. I didn't know it was going to cost you your gig. All right, well, there you go. The copyright notice is on the screen, and that means that this episode of Rampage is done. It is finished, and I got to tell you, not a very exciting show. That was not a very exciting episode of Rampage, which is why I thought tonight was the perfect time to try something like this. I've not done any watch-alongs here on the channel. I've had a lot of people ask about it over the years. Oh, you should do one. You should do a watch-along. I said, you know what? Let's do one with an hour-long taped show. Very simple, not a lot of stress, probably a relatively quiet night. So, an uneventful show. I think, honestly, this stream was probably more eventful than the show tonight. I was talking about the Bryan Danielson news, which if you're tuning in, now we may have some people who were tuning in late who had no idea that I was doing a reaction show. So let's see if some more people filter in, and I will go over the news again here in just a second. The breaking news from earlier tonight from bodyslam.net about Bryan Danielson. We have some more super chats to go through here. As you guys all know, I read everything you send me, and I appreciate everybody who supports the channel with super chats. That, honestly, is probably the most direct way to support here on YouTube. Or you can become a channel member. We've got three new members so far tonight, which is awesome. We had a couple of people upgrade to the Legends tier. I love it. Yes, Coggies, hit that like button. I didn't mention that. Hit that like button. Dr. NXT Scorpio. Here in Canada, TSN Network aired Rampage last Friday because of CM Punk, and since then I cannot find it anywhere. I don't know if it's a schedule issue or something, but I feel robbed. Well, having watched the show, you didn't miss much. The tag team match was pretty good to open the show, and after that, this show was a whole lot of nothing. This was not a very good episode of Rampage. You know, it moved things along, but if you missed this show, you didn't miss much. Tuxedo T. Servo, a meh week after Punk's debut. AEW failed to capitalize on his debut, surprised that they dropped the ball. Yeah, you know, with the roster that they have, it's not a matter of, oh, they should have given away all their big matches. You know, I look at even the Dynamite show on Wednesday, and I say you have people like Pac, you have people like Andrade. Pac and Andrade are going to have a match at the pay-per-view. But why isn't Pac in the ring with somebody else having a kick-ass, you know, 12-minute match on TV? Where is Andrade? Why can't Andrade have a television match against somebody? You know, I feel like they took all of these young, unproven names that they're trying to get over, but they put so many of them on the show that it just doesn't give the show a must-see feel at a time when you know you're going to have more eyeballs on your show. And you should want to, for these couple of weeks here, shine a light on some of the other talents who can go out there. And maybe they have a profile, maybe they have a name, and they can go out there and just have kick-ass names. You know, not unlike what Bischoff used to do on WCW Nitro. You know, when he would have those exciting cruiserweight matches, or he would, you know, to his credit, you know, before the fall began, you know, he knew how that Nitro formula was so perfect for so long, especially, you know, through 97, when they were really firing on all cylinders. They had the perfect formula. It was the perfect mix of main event guys and then the kind of the middle of the card. Those were the workhorses who would go out there and keep people tuned in, like, holy shit, that was a great match. That's what Tony Khan should have done this week, and I think he dropped the ball. We didn't really get a whole lot of that. So I agree. I think they could have done a better job taking advantage of this, you know, captive audience that they would have expected to have this week. Although I fully expect the Rampage ratings when they come out on Monday, I fully expect that they're going to be right back down to earth. I would think this show tonight, my guess is, coming off the 1.2 million they did last week, I think they end up doing between 800 and 900 this week. My prediction was not too far off last week. I really wasn't that far off from what they ended up doing. I think I said 1.3. They did 1.12, so I was a little high. I'm going to say between 800 and 900 is where they end up this week. Tuxedo T Servo, though, thank you, though, for the $5, man. And Jay Baker, Solid Monster, riffing is better than the crap Michael Cole calls commentary. Cheers, much love from the Bay Area. Well, thank you, Jay. Jose Leanos, not the best show, but that crowd sucks. To be fair to the crowd, they watched whatever dark matches or elevation matches were probably taped before Dynamite, 2 hours of Dynamite, which wasn't that exciting, and then they had another hour of Rampage. So I don't put all the blame on the Milwaukee crowd if they didn't sound as loud. Quintus Brown, the Milwaukee crowd sucked. Well, I'm trying to stick up for the Milwaukee crowd, and it's not working. Marcus the Entertainer, they're making or moving AEW Dark because of 6 hours of tape. That's what I'm talking about. You will have a tired audience if you tape for so many hours. And now the reports are that Dark is going to be moving to studio tapings, possibly at Universal Studios in Orlando on a soundstage, not unlike the Impact Zone. They might be neighbors soon. AEW might be neighbors with the Impact Zone. Is the Impact Zone still at Universal? I don't even know if the Impact Zone is still at Universal Studios. I think that they might be in Nashville now. Wherever they are, Impact used to be on a soundstage at Universal Studios. I don't even know if they're still there. If they are, though, they might be neighbors very soon, because it looks like Dark is going to become a studio show, which actually I think sounds pretty cool, you know? It's a different setting. I don't really see any issue with that. I think it makes sense. You don't want to tire these crowds out. Have you seen those Dark lineups? And they put together these 10, 12, 13, 14 match cards. It's insane. Regis Cook, what's up, Solid Monster? Sending some support your way. Regis, thank you, sir. What am I wearing these for? I could take these out. The show is over. I'm still sitting here with my AirPods in. There we go. But again, if you tuned in for the watch-along, leave some feedback in the comments section. We're not going to do this every week. I know some people were hoping it would just be a typical review, but let me know what you thought, and you know, I'm open to doing more of these from time to time. This was an experiment tonight. Yeah, Colin said they moved out in 2018. Okay, so for some reason I said that out loud, and then I said, wait a minute, I don't think they're actually taping at Universal Studios anymore. Oz and Glorious just dropped a $5 super chat. Damien in the chat, yes, we did a watch-along. I've been live for over an hour. I only announced it earlier today, though. I put a poll up in the community section here on the channel, so I'm sure some people missed it. But yes, I went live right before Rampage went on the air. First time ever. If you missed it, you can go back after and watch it. But it was not a very exciting Rampage tonight. Oz and Gloria says, I love AEW, but if the ratings eat it this week, they deserve it for force-feeding us the garbage factory nightmare like they did. Love the stream, though. Yeah, I think they really needed to do a better job of delivering more exciting matches this week. I don't think they did a very good job at all. Dr. NXT Scorpio. What if Adam Cole debuts and jumps Bryan Danielson at All Out? Says going to get something to eat and watch Halloween 3. Take care, everybody. I like your style. I like that idea, too. You know, somebody before floated the idea, given their history, that maybe Cole actually helps the Young Bucks in that cage match retain the tag team titles and sort of reunites with them as part of the Elite. But You know, I kind of like that idea, too. You know, if Danielson comes out, let's say he doesn't come out after Kenny Omega's match, which was my suggestion, okay? Maybe they just introduce him. The music hits, final countdown, he comes out, he gets his entrance, crowd goes crazy for him. And maybe before he could even say a word, out from the crowd comes Adam Cole, or a man, you know, like a masked man with like a ski mask over his head. He attacks Danielson viciously, beats him down, pulls the ski mask off, and it's Adam Cole. You get a double pop in the segment, and you've now set up the first feud for both men. Of course, the question then is, one guy has to win, one guy has to lose. So you're kind of in a conundrum there, because you don't really want to beat either guy that early, I wouldn't think. But I will say that would be a hell of a moment if they did it that way. See, that's what I like about this. There's really any number of ways you can go with this. There's so many things that you can do with Danielson. And I'm sure he's going to want to work with everybody. So, but, you know, me, I would want to debut him in the most impactful way possible. To me, that's confronting Kenny Omega and teasing a championship match down the road, coming out after his win over what I'm sure is going to be a win over Christian Cage at the pay-per-view. But your Adam Cole idea is appealing to me as well. I like the possibilities here. I'm gonna read through all the super chats. I just want to let people know who are tuned in late. We are going to do some phone calls. We have not done phone calls in quite a while. The phone number is on your screen. It's being hidden right now by this super chat. Thank you, Jared. Just dropping $25 here on the stream. We got all the lines jammed up, so we got a lot of people waiting in line to call in, but the phone number is on your screen, and the phone number is always down below in the description. I have it written in there, too, just so you know. You put that number in your phone. Put it in your address book so you'll never lose it. Solomonster Hotline. There you go. 989-282-7656. Huge ass. Dropping $1.99. Cross had a body language of a defeated man on Monday. Well, did you see what he looked like when he walked out? I've seen pictures of pets where their owners dress them up in clothing, like the most ridiculous clothing that you should never put an animal in. And they have this look on their face like, just kill me. So you're right. The body language and everything, that's kind of what Karrion Kross reminded me of on Monday night. Just kill me. Just kill me. Just put me out of my misery. Good Lord. I had Lord Tenzai vibes watching that entrance with that helmet. Quintus Brown, do a watch-along for Raw. It would help all of us get through it. Boy, you guys really have it out for me. For those who are tuned in, we watch Rampage live. The Lucha Bros are the number one contenders for the AEW Tag Team titles. They will be challenging the Young Bucks in a cage at All Out. That surprised me. I thought Jurassic Express was going to get one more match. I don't mind it. I think it's going to be a great match at the pay-per-view. I wish they would have given the match tonight a little bit longer. I thought it went a little on the short side, especially considering there's only, you know, three matches announced. You could have given it a little bit more time. We had Ty Conti losing to the Bunny. Some cheap interference. She hit her with a foreign object and pinned her. And they're building up something for the Women's Battle Royal at All Out. I thought it was a waste. And in the main event, Christian Cage pins Brandon Cutler. When Kenny Omega left him to die, Christian and Frankie Kazarian beat Omega and Mr. Cutler. Miro had a promo segment where he was beating up Fuego del Sol. He ripped his mask off and Fuego covered up. Maybe he was horribly burned in an accident or something and doesn't want people to see his face. Remember what Andre the Giant said in The Princess Bride, Fezzik, when he's asking Cary Elwes, why do you wear a mask? He goes, were you burned by acid? Maybe Fuego was burned by acid. Who knows? But Eddie Kingston came out. And they had a pull-apart brawl. So that is clearly setting up the match that we were talking about on Wednesday here on the stream, which is going to be Eddie Kingston and Miro for the TNT Championship. Very likely it All Out, but nothing is official just yet. Brian Mahoney dropping $10. And look at this, TM Mock just subscribed to the channel. Welcome to the channel, TM. Brian Mahoney, I don't mean this to bash anyone, but I legitimately feel like Miro has the best gimmick in wrestling, even better than Reigns. This is the word of the Redeemer. I'm not bashing anybody. I think you're paying a compliment to somebody who, when he came in, was completely miscast, and now he has found his footing and he is doing well. It's nice to see. It's the right role for him. Jared M., watch along is fantastic. Hope this is the start of something new. Thank you for the $25, Jared. DHV, smoking trees. Boy, he's been dropping a lot of love tonight. Maybe I think you need to smoke some more. He seems to be very generous when he's in a smoking mood here. I think DB should immediately go after Miro. The TNT title just screams a guy like Daniel Bryan. They could have a fantasy match every week as an open challenge. I am totally fine with that idea. I guess what you're suggesting then is, let's say he wrestles Kingston at the pay-per-view, he beats Eddie, and then what? Bryan comes out when the match is over to confront him instead of Kenny Omega. I don't know. I kind of feel like that's beneath him. For a debut appearance, I'd want it to be something a little bit more than just TNT title level. I think at some point, if you want him and Miro to have a match and you want him to have a run with the TNT title and have him throwing out an open challenge every week so he can wrestle different people, I absolutely could see Danielson wanting to do something like that, like an open challenge like Cena did with the U.S. title that allows him to work with all the young guys. Can you imagine like Bryan Danielson in there wrestling, you know, Dante Martin 1 week, wrestling Rey Fénix the next, Jungle Boy? Absolutely, I could see him doing that. But would I debut him that way? Probably not. I think we gotta get him a little higher up on the food chain, I think, for his debut. Brian Mahoney. I think Brian's first opponent should be Malakai Black. A lot of reasons I think that would make sense, especially if Cody is going to be out. Another great idea. We've just been talking about like five different potential great ideas for Bryan Danielson when he comes in, whether it's Cole, whether it's Omega, whether it's Miro, whether it's Malakai. Malakai and Bryan would be fantastic. Dry chicken without flavor. Britsburg, Britago, Britwaukee, Brit Inati. New Brit City. Soon we will have a Dr. Brit America USA on 4th of July soon. Okay. They're going to be going to Boston soon, aren't they? You do Boston, right? I heard they're teasing Braun Strowman for Impact Wrestling. I heard that... oh my goodness. The head of Impact, Scott D'Amore, was on a radio show, I believe, or some kind of show, and he was teasing. He said, Braun for glory. He was teasing Braun for glory. That's the scuttlebutt. Braun Strowman and possibly Buddy Murphy, now Buddy Matthews. They could be Impact bound. I don't have any interest in seeing Strowman in AEW, so if he goes to Impact, I think that's fine. You know, the guy's got to work somewhere, and he would be a huge name for them. For them, it would be a huge pickup. I don't see AEW being a good fit for him right now. I think he would really, in a lot of ways, he would be perfect for Impact. And I think Bray Wyatt, in all honesty, I could see him working in AEW, but I think he would also be a good fit for Impact. Remember, Impact works with AEW. They have a working relationship. So if either of those guys go work for Impact, they could still end up working some matches for AEW. They could still make appearances on TNT at some point. It is not out of the realm of possibility that that could happen. Dry chicken with another super chat. Britsburg more over than Suplex City. Food Hive. Late to the party. I missed the watch along. What the fuck? You missed it. That's on you. I announced this early today. You got to follow me on social media. Why do you think I put my Twitter handle on the slides here? You got to follow me on Twitter if you want to know about these announcements. I keep everybody posted. But I post it on YouTube as well. If you're a subscriber, you should get notifications when I post. If not, they might be turned off. Make sure that bell is on for notifications. I have to remind people. Nicholas Jacobs, if you don't mind me asking, which era of wrestling was better overall between the Attitude Era and the Ruthless Aggression Era, in your opinion? Better in what way? Just as a personal preference, more exciting, or better in terms of the actual wrestling? In terms of the actual wrestling, I would probably say Ruthless Aggression. At least if we're talking WWE, I would say Ruthless Aggression. Well, I guess we would have to be talking WWE. There was no WCW in the Ruthless Aggression Era. The wrestling was much better after the Attitude Era. In terms of just pure fun and excitement, with the competition and the back and forth and everything, and like the peak of the Attitude Era when those guys, like everybody was over, I got to go Attitude Era. I mean, come on. That age, it was a lot of fun to be a fan. It was like a party every week. Going to some of those shows and, you know, talking about it with my friends, and everybody had their allegiance either to one company or the other, and you see people jumping back and forth. We're never going to have another time, I don't think, quite like that in wrestling. It's different now. It's nice to see AEW building some momentum, just because, you know, it's just nice to have someone else other than just WWE doing well. But we're never going to have another period that is quite like that Monday night period. You had to be there. You had to live through it and experience it to really, I think, understand and appreciate how much fun it really was. Chris Manson, yes, I did talk about Brian. I will do so one more time for those who may have missed it. The report is out tonight from bodyslam.net that Brian Danielson is going to be making his AEW debut, not at Arthur Ashe Stadium next month, but at All Out. They've bumped up his debut. It will be in Chicago on September 5th. In large part because of concerns over COVID and certain restrictions, perhaps, that New York may put into place if things get worse. You never know with these variants and stuff, whatever you may think about it. Ultimately, you have to be worried about what the state or the city is going to do. And because of those concerns, and they don't want to kind of build everything for his debut at the stadium, and then all of a sudden, either they can't run the stadium or they have to cut the number of people at the stadium. So they're just choosing to go ahead and do it in Chicago at All Out. So we're not going to have to wait that much longer to see him on AEW television. Domination Warrior, Baron Corbin is better than Shit T. Marshall. What does that say? Buff Inno? I don't know what that says. I don't know what the last part of that super chat says. You're going to have to explain that one to me. I speak fluent English. I don't know what language that is, though. Hulkling 93, with what happened tonight, it has to be Sammy feuding with Miro. It only makes sense. Eventually, but Eddie Kingston is going to get the next shot. Sammy would come after that. Marcus the Entertainer, you debut Brian as Kenny Omega's next challenger and do the match at the New York City show or Anniversary Dynamite. He loses and Hangman returns. It all depends on when Hangman is ready to return. We don't know. I don't even know that his girlfriend or wife or whatever their relationship is. I don't exactly even know when her due date is. It's none of my business. I have no idea. We may not see Hangman again until October, and they may build him up for Full Gear. Full Gear is his event. Right? That was the whole joke with Full Gear. Wasn't that a Hangman thing on Being the Elite? It's his joke. The show is named after him. And Full Gear is where he lost, I believe, last year to Kenny Omega in the Eliminator Tournament final. So in a lot of ways, it kind of makes even more sense. If he's going to be out for a while, just push things back for the pay-per-view in November. I would not be doing it in the next few weeks, you know, because now he's been off television. You need time to build it back up again. There's no need to rush that. But The idea of doing Brian and Omega, the only thing against that is the fact that they have rankings in AEW. And you would have to really come up with an explanation as to why he's getting a championship match. I'm not against the idea of that, though. If they want a big main event for the stadium show, and they wanted to do Omega and Brian and make it a title match, I'm not against the idea. And then somebody has to interfere or debut and interfere and cost Brian the match, and that then becomes his first full-fledged feud in the company. I think you could probably do a fuck finish in that match if you gave the people another big title change elsewhere on the show. That's where the Bucks come into play with Santana and Ortiz. I think that would be very crowd-pleasing, where I think you could then get away with doing some kind of a screwy finish with Omega and Brian. Because that would be a big match. If they're not planning on doing that match for a while, well, then you could do it and have an indecisive finish and come back around to it next year, or you know, 2 years from now. You want to make sure you give people at least one big match on that stadium show in front of the biggest crowd in company history. Whether it's the tag title match, whether it's Omega and Brian, Punk could wrestle on that show. Punk could, I wouldn't put him with Omega, but hey, Punk and Brian, what about that? If Brian debuts in Chicago, here's another idea. CM Punk is going to beat Darby Allin, I believe. He's going to beat Darby Allin in Chicago at All Out. Who's to say Brian doesn't walk out after Punk's match? We get a stare down between Bryan Danielson and CM Punk, and you do Punk and Bryan at the Grand Slam Dynamite show. Because I feel like both of those guys are going to want to separate after that. Punk's going to go do his thing. Bryan's going to go work with everybody else on the roster. So why not just get the match done right off the bat, and you do Punk and Bryan as a special attraction in the stadium? What do you think about that? I think people would dig that as an idea. Oz and Glorious, based on recent history, Adam Cole's first program will probably be with Aaron Solo, Kip Sabian, or one of Billy Gunn's kids. You're assuming that Adam Cole is going to AEW. I'm still very concerned that he's going to stay right where he is. Until I hear otherwise, WWE is still very much in play. They could still make an offer to keep him, which concerns me. Bulu Fatulu, one of our channel members. What's up, Solomonster? What is your favorite Grand Theft Auto game? Vice City. I'm an 80s guy. I would just drive around and listen to the radio stations. I'd just be driving. It'd be like a driving simulation for me. Vice City. He also says, buy or sell Super Mario World or Super Mario Brothers 3. I love them both. I love them both, but I got to go Super Mario Brothers 3. Jake Rann, can't wait for Giddy Tony press call with Brian. You know, he's going to have a smile on his face from ear to ear when Danielson debuts. IBNF James in the chat says, is Arthur Ashe getting canceled? No. No, it's not. There are concerns because of all the COVID stuff. Anything is possible as we get closer, but no, that is not anything that is imminent. The show is still fine, but one can never predict the future. And Marcus the Entertainer, should MJF feud with Punk or with Brian? Both. Both. I don't care which one comes first, but he's got to feud with both of them at some point. And Oz and Glorious, Daniel Bryan's first program will be against Nick Camarado in a Texas bull rope match. All right, so we're all caught up on Super Chats for now. Get them on in. If you have any you want to send in, I will read them. But right now, why don't we hit the phone lines? Well, you haven't done this in a while. What did you think of Rampage? What did you think of Dynamite? What do you think about All Out? What do you think of the Bryan Danielson news? What did you think of the watch-along tonight? You guys got to let me know. I want to hear from you. This is where I turn the show over to you. And we get a little more interactive here. And we'll duck in back and forth with your Super Chat questions as well. But let's see here. Oh, this is the first call we've done in months. So how about we go to 253? You are
hello.
Hello, 253. Are you there?
Yes, I am here. Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, who am I talking to?
Epsilon Sama, my man.
What's going on, Epsilon?
Yeah. I told you, brother. I told you. Daniel Rand Anderson is coming.
You told me. You did.
Anyway, I'm gonna call you because here's the thing, and I was thinking about this like since we heard the news about Dark going to the studio and stuff. I was thinking, I want to hear your opinion about what if, wouldn't it be better, at least for the business side of AEW, if they do Wednesday show live, you know, Dynamite, then after that they record Elevation, which is a shorter show, and then on Friday they do a live Rampage, and then after or before, I think it's better to do before because Dark sucks, honestly, in terms of like hyping the crowd and stuff. But do Dark before the Rampage recording, and they can do live Rampage. And I think, in my opinion, and I want to hear yours, of course, if they do it that way, they save money in terms of they don't have to like have a studio down in Orlando. They don't have to have that studio, and they can pretty much get a gate on for Rampage and Dark. That way they can make some money on the live attendances and stuff. Want to hear your opinion about that?
Well, I mean, they'll have people in studio. They're not going to do this, you know, in an empty studio. So, I mean, who's to say they won't charge people for, you know, admittance there in a studio setting? I don't mind it so much because, you know, for them, they haven't done a studio show. You know, Impact at this point is basically a studio show. NWA has their studio where they do their stuff. Even NXT is basically a glorified studio show. AEW hasn't done that. I kind of like the idea of changing the setting. It just makes the show feel and look a little bit different. And frankly, I think a lot of the matches on Dark, as you say, Dark sucks. It's full of a lot of enhancement matches and matches with talent that just don't have a whole lot of exposure. I think that kind of show, frankly, fits in a studio setting with not as many people. And then they sort of, as they work their way up the ranks, they can graduate to Dynamite. They can graduate to Rampage in the bigger building. So I don't mind it if that's the move they want to make. And who's to say that, you know, having some kind of agreement with a, you know, soundstage in Orlando, I'm sure Tony Khan can work out some kind of deal where, you know, I'm sure it won't cost him much. So I don't mind the move. Doesn't bother me.
Well, if it was like how Impact was done, like the Impact Zone down in Orlando, like those were free people. Those were free audiences.
They were.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't react. Sometimes they react weirdly because they weren't like actual fans. They just were people just on the Universal Park. And that's pretty unpredictable. Like you might not get the best reactions, for example. Like I remember back in the day, TNA sometimes, those were weird shows sometimes because you didn't get the reaction because when it's like a captive audience, or like an audience that like the show.
Let me stop you there. You're talking about
the right reaction.
Well, Epsilon Sama, thank you. I have to move on here. But on your point, I do want to mention this though. When you mentioned that the old TNA shows could be a little weird, and then you talk about the crowd. The crowd was the least of it. You talk about those old original like NWA TNA shows being weird. We had a midget who is jacking off into a garbage can, okay? That same person, I believe, in a different segment, pulled a gun on Jeff Jarrett in the ring, okay? We had all the Russo era of NWA TNA. You talk about weird? The crowd was the least weird thing about any of it. That was in the old Asylum in Nashville. That was long before they even ended up in Orlando. That was fucking weird. You go back and watch some of that stuff from the original days of TNA. Holy shit. How that company survived and still lives on today is a friggin' miracle. How many regimes has that come? I'm trying to think how many owners that company has been through over the years, and they have survived. I said years ago, it's like a cockroach. They say a cockroach can outlast the nuclear holocaust. That's going to be TNA. It's amazing. Their story of survival. Somebody should do a book on that company one day. Let's go to 216.
Yes, sir.
Who am I talking to?
Hey, Solid Monster. This is Kevin from Cleveland.
Hey, Kevin. What's going on?
Oh, man. Just want to maybe talk about some politics, or maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I'm just reading too much into it. Watching Rampage, and I wanted to get your thoughts. I'm watching Rampage last week, listening to CM Punk mention ROH. It seems like AEW is doing business with everybody except ROH. I mean, I think there might have been a brief stint with Jeff Cobb in the beginning, but other than that, they really haven't did anything with ROH and with Punk and assumedly Bryan Danielson coming in. What do you think realistically of seeing anything ROH AEW related?
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I just wonder if it has more to do with the fact that, you know, Ring of Honor is owned by Sinclair. They do have, it's syndicated, but they do have national television. I guess Impact does too, but it's a little bit different. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. I don't know what the attitude is of the people running Ring of Honor. I believe they have or had a working relationship with one of the Mexican promotions. Obviously, they've worked with New Japan before, so, you know, we know that they're not against the idea of working with other companies. I just think it's probably only a matter of time before we see talent being traded back and forth. I don't know what the holdup is right now, but, you know, they much like all these other companies, they work with other promotions. I don't see any reason why at some point, you know, Tony Khan talks about this forbidden door. Could we see a Jonathan Gresham popping up one day on AEW television? Yeah, I could see that. Absolutely. I just think
right.
It's just more a matter of timing, I think, than anything else.
Right, because with the PWG show coming up, there's a lot of ROH talent featured heavy on that show, and it seems like every other smaller indie promotion, there's a lot of ROH guys. And to me, it's like, you know, I know they don't really want to give them any free publicity. Like you said, they're like billion-dollar conglomerates, you know. But, I mean, because, like, there's a lot of special things going on at Ring of Honor. It just seems like, well, for whatever reason, they're, I don't want to say they're shined, but their light has definitely dimmed. And it's not so much the lack of talent, but maybe so much maybe the exposure and long-term booking. But, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I would like to see maybe, because, I mean, I know you're both a longtime fan of ROH back in the day, and they're just, I wish they would get a little bit more shine.
Yeah, nobody really talks about them as much anymore like they used to. And I don't have a chance to really watch a lot of ROH, but I hear good things about the actual, you know, presentation, the in-ring product. It's just they don't have a whole lot of attention being paid to it, so I think it's just a matter of when the time is right, you know, what's in it. Let's say what's in it for AEW, what's in it for Ring of Honor. But if they think it could be mutually beneficial, I see no obstacle as far as why they wouldn't be able to work together. I'm not aware of there being any kind of bad blood there or anything like that. So, you know, I think Ring of Honor owns the footage for that first All In show. I don't know if there was something coming out of that show maybe that led to there being a reason why they wouldn't work together with the Elite guys. Maybe there is politically something there that I'm not aware of, but I think it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, like I said, and one more thing, quick thing about, you know, with the COVID thing speeding up Daniels, I really wanted to say, but I heard about his move update because of COVID restraints. When do you think, let's say, in a perfect world, when do you think the next big, I don't want to say G1 supercard, but when do you think the next big mega event where multiple organizations come through for a Madison Square Garden type of an event. Thanks, man.
Thanks a lot. I think it's going to be a while. I certainly not this year, and I don't even see it in the first half of next year. I think some kind of G1 supercard style cooperative event. Okada's talked about that. Remember, it was many, many months ago, but Okada talked about how he envisioned there being some kind of big, you know, fantasy card where it brings all the promotions, including WWE, like it brings everybody together. WWE is not going to have anything to do with it. But I think if there was going to be anything like that, I don't even know that it happens next year, to be honest with you. Travel is still a major issue when it comes to Mexico and Japan. And so that plays a role in it, I think. You know, if something like that takes place, it could be 2023. I think we could be looking maybe a couple of years away. I don't see it happening next year. I just don't. New Japan, it sucks because even New Japan right now, they're just being hammered by COVID. COVID has wreaked havoc on their roster and on their company. Their champion is out right now. There were a couple of events 2 weeks ago. One night it was 8 wrestlers who were kept out because of COVID-related stuff. The next night it was 7. I mean, they have just been hit every which way but sideways. The idea of, you know, all these promotions coming together for some kind of supercard is, I think, still a ways off. Let's see here. We got more super chats. EJ Slimp. For some reason, Punk and Miro intrigues. Miro got called up right after Punk left, so they never got the chance to work together. What do you think? I think at some point, Miro is not on my top 3 list of opponents I'd like to see Punk in there with. I would much rather see Punk Omega, Punk and Brian, Punk and Darby, which we're going to get in a couple of weeks. Punk and MJF. You know, Punk said he has scores to settle. We could have Punk and Moxley. So I would rather see all of those matches before I see Punk and Miro. But all these guys at some point are going to end up working together. Punk's in full time. He doesn't have a Brock Lesnar deal. He's going to work with all the key guys. He's going to end up working with them in some form or another. Oz and Glory is Daniel Bryan's first program. Oh, we already talked about that. His Nick Camarado idea. We'll put that on the side. Jake Rand, how hot is Ty Conti? How is she not on TV more often? She is a very attractive woman. The bigger question is, how could WWE let her go? They had her under contract, and she was dying for them to do something with her. She was pitching her own ideas, and they still wouldn't do anything with her, and they let her go. That's the question that needs to be asked. Marcus the Entertainer, new Candyman movie comes out tonight. You know, I was never a big fan of the Candyman movies. I don't even know that I ever saw the first movie in full. I saw part of it. Maybe it was the bees that freaked me out. I don't know. Maybe it was the bees that freaked me out. After that scene in Stand By Me with Macaulay Culkin and the girl from Veep, forgot her name. She got older. She ended up on Veep on HBO. But the scene where he dies from the bee stings, that really scarred me when I was younger. So anything with bees, I think, bothers me. I don't know if I'm going to see it or not. I'm not going to the movies to see it. I was hoping to go to the movies in October to see Halloween Kills. That is still my plan. If I have to wear a Carrion Cross mask over my head to do it, I'll do it. I plan on being in the theater to see the Halloween movie. IBNF James dropping 5. Will Bryan Danielson become AEW World Champion at some point? And thoughts on a Bryan Danielson and Sammy Guevara match? Love it. Love the idea. Punk's another one. Punk and Sammy, I would love to see it. Yes, I believe Punk will be AEW Champion at some point. I believe Danielson will be AEW Champion at some point. But not for quite some time. Hangman has to get his run first. So, yes, V-Jo in the chat, he needs his glasses. I'm getting depressed all over again thinking about My Girl. That's right, My Girl. I said Stand By Me. I that was another movie that depressed me. No, My Girl, that's right. Thank you for correcting me. It was My Girl. But Stand By Me is a classic movie as well. And Chris Quillman, dropping 10. I just wanted to say that I thought the watch-along went well, and not to make more work for you, but I hope you keep doing it. Good choice on the hour-long show. What a time to be a wrestling fan. There is a lot of wrestling to go around. So if you are looking for good wrestling, you really don't have to look very far. That is the great thing about, I think, wrestling at the moment, is that you have a lot of options, you have a lot of content out there, but you only need one content creator. Guy right here, I got you covered. Let us go back to the phone lines, which are all jammed up. Why don't we try 502? You're on the air.
Hey, Solid Monster, what's up?
What's going on? Who am I talking to?
This is Houston from Kentucky.
Houston from Kentucky. We got a city and a state. You've got a city and a state in your name. I like it.
Yeah. Man, I just want to thank you for all the content lately.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's been great.
Thank you.
And my question is, which one of these things do you think would have the better chance of happening? AJ Styles shows up in AEW, reunites the Bullet Club, you know, Gallows and Anderson, they feud with Omega and the Bucks, or... Tony Khan pays Jim Cornette a lot of money and he shows up and leads FTR against the Bucks.
Option one, because Jim Cornette ain't coming anywhere close to AEW.
Oh, yeah, not for enough money.
Jim Cornette won't even spell a word that has the letters AEW that close together. He will not even entertain the idea. I can guarantee you that. Although he would be a heat magnet, but they've already given his role to Dan Lambert. So now there's no need for Cornette to even come in.
All right. Thank you, Solid Monster.
All right. Thank you, Houston. Thank you for calling in. Let's go to... Oh, boy. I think I know who this is. Is this who I think it is?
9 days.
9 days. 9 days. ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the one, the only, the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour, Food Hive is on the phone with us tonight. Food Hive.
My man, Jack. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Now that you've called in, it's been some time since I've had you on the show.
I know, man. I know. I'll just be giving you quick jabs on Twitter lately.
I know. Believe me, I've seen.
Did you catch my one about the Mets?
Probably, but I probably ignored it because I'm already in a bad mood whenever people talk about the Mets around me. You know,
I feel the same.
Well, let me just say this. There was a point not too long ago. We're talking weeks, okay? Weeks ago, where. I have some friends who are Braves fans, and the Braves were absolute dog shit, and they were you know, down in the division, and the Mets were in first place. I mean, it was a weak division, but the Mets were in first place, and now here we are. It is August 27th. I haven't looked at the standings. I don't even know where anybody is anymore, but I know the Mets aren't in first place, and I know the Braves are kicking our fucking ass, and I say to myself, Mets gonna Mets. I don't know why I let myself get my hopes up, but here we are. It just always seems to work out that way.
Hey, if the Cubs can win, the Mets can win too, man. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. You're an optimist. You're an optimistic guy.
I don't know why. I'm a Rangers fan, so.
New York or Texas? Well, you're a Texas guy. Of course, Texas Rangers.
Oh, yeah. Yep, Texas Rangers. Dallas, Texas. We here.
Well, you got Jerry Jones.
No, but hey, we got all the good owners down here: Jerry Jones, Mark Cuban.
That's right.
Yeah, we got it all. Hey, but my question to you was: I just got off work, so I don't know if you touched on this or not. But if Edge didn't take the Brood's entrance, how do you think Gangrel would have debuted at AEW?
Well, I said earlier that I think it would have just made sense for it to be tied into Christian in some way. Because we had Don Callis on Dynamite, actually it was Christian who showed the footage of, you know, when he was wrestling on the independent scene and the story being that Don Callis got him fired or blackballed or whatever in favor of a young Kenny Omega. So if they were going back in his history, they were going back in Christian's past, it would only make sense that that would have involved Gangrel. Maybe they would have talked about his history with the Brood. Gangrel could have made an entrance and showed up. I said tonight, I think the main event of Rampage, had things worked out differently, I wonder if Kazarian wasn't meant for that role. I wonder if it was going to be Gangrel. We could have had Christian and Gangrel tonight against Kenny Omega and Brandon Cutler.
He sounded so sad when he was telling the story, and I feel sad. He misses up.
He's a good guy. I mean, I've watched a lot of his interviews and stuff, and people who, I know some people who like knew him, and one person was a student because he has a school and everything, and I've never heard a bad story about Gangrel. And when you watch one of his interviews, he did one a while back with Chris Van Vliet, just a very laid back guy, very humble. Just a nice guy. So it sucks that he lost a gig. He said Edge was very upset about it when he found out about it, but they've worked with him before. Yeah. You know, he did a cameo in one of the Matt Hardy things that he did. Like, it was like a Final Deletion type thing many months ago. So he's worked for AEW before. Hopefully there'll be some kind of role for him at some point. I don't think we need him on TV full time, but you know, just to have that cameo. Only thing is, if he doesn't have the Brood music, I mean, that kind of sucks.
I mean, they said they worked on some music in an entrance for him, so...
Yeah, that's true. They must have something. Well, you know what, then? If they had music ready for him, then I guess they'll bring him back at some point, because they got to use it. But they paid him. They paid him for the appearance that he didn't make, which was nice of them to do.
Nice enough, I guess, man. Hey, one more question. What was for dinner?
Make it quick.
What's for dinner?
What's for dinner? How'd I know you were going to ask that? We had some Chinese takeout tonight. We had some, well, you'll enjoy this. We had chicken and shrimp with cashew nuts.
Right.
Steamed. Sauce on the side with some brown rice. And we had some wonton soup. And we had as a shared appetizer, we had steamed vegetable dumplings. So it was a full meal tonight.
I never had that, and I want to try that so bad.
Well, you need to learn how to cook it. You can put the video up online of you trying to cook it. There you go. I just gave you a challenge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's on Food Hive, the YouTube channel.
That's
Food
right.
Food Hive, FOODHYVE.
Gotta plug his shit before he gets out of here. Look at this guy. Gotta plug his shit.
Gotta plug. All right, man. Thank you for everything. Video's still coming. Trust me.
All right, awesome. Food Hive joining us. Thank you, Food Hive, for all the support every week. And I'm sure we'll do calls again soon, and we'll get you back on soon. So that was Food Hive joining us here live on our Rampage watch-along. For those tuning in late, we did a watch-along type format tonight. It's not going to be like this every week, but we did a little test with the one-hour show, see how it goes. I think it went pretty well. But again, you guys will leave your feedback in the comment section. You can tweet me. Let me know what you thought. If you'd like to see more of these in the future. Let's see. Who do we go to next? I think we're caught up on Super Chats for now, so let's go to a phone call. Let's go to 847.
Yo, Jason, what's going on, pal?
Who do I have the pleasure of speaking with?
The one and only that is currently waiting on people to get out of the factory because I'm at work right now.
The one and only, I believe this is the alcoholic one and only?
No, I'm sober today, dude. Oh. I do transportation as my job, so
all
I
right.
kind of have to be sober right now.
All right, we caught him on a sober day. That's good to know.
That might be tomorrow. Who knows? I'm a bit of a booze bag.
I was going to say, what's your, I got people yelling at me, telling me we got to move things along here. So what is your question or comment?
So with Adam Cole's pending free agency and whatnot, with seeing Karrion Kross getting booked like shit, Keith Lee getting booked like shit, and you know getting all these promises of you know of a push, why even consider you know being with Vince and signing with WWE, even though it is the biggest gig that he possibly might get?
Why would he want to sign with WWE?
Yeah, why would you even consider signing with them if you've seen what they have done in the past?
Well, I mean, because they can make him the biggest offer possible, number one. So how important that is to him, I don't know. But everybody has their number. Where if they see it and it's big enough, you can't say no. So if they were to make him an offer that was financially great and they said, okay, we'll let you keep streaming on Twitch, which is very important to him, that honestly might be one of the biggest reasons I could see him walking. He's made it very clear how important it is to him to have that community on Twitch. Was it Chugs? Is that what he calls himself on there? It's like this totally different identity that he has on Twitch. And they'd probably have to make an exception for him because I don't think anybody else is allowed to do that. So if they did, if they said, look, we're gonna go the extra mile here. We're going to pay you a lot of money. You can still stream. And we have creative plans for you that we've already put together. And we're going to, and here they are. Here's what we have planned for you, right? They give him a sense of what his next 6 months are going to look like on SmackDown, let's say. He might look at that and go, you know what? I really don't want to leave here. I like it here. They're giving me a reason to stay. And I could see him staying. I could still see him staying. I hope he doesn't. I'd like to see him leave and go somewhere else. But, you know, just because it seems like, why would anybody stay with WWE? Because they can offer you the world. And you then have to decide what is important to you. What are you looking for? Do you want to just make a lot of money? Do you want to be happy and go work with your friends? I mean, he has friends in WWE. It's not like the only friends he has are over in AEW. His girlfriend's in AEW. They could be together a lot more often if he goes to AEW. I would think to him that would be very appealing. So to me, it's an easy choice to make. But if Vince McMahon really likes him and they blow him away with some kind of amazing offer, you know, he's going to have a tough call to make. To me, the call is not tough at all. But I'm not Adam Cole. I'm not the one who has to make the final decision.
Oh, so another quick question. I'm a big Jim Cornette fan. Mm-hmm. Go Jim Cornette.
Yeah.
Just I just wanted to get your thoughts. What is possibly your favorite nickname that he has given all these AEW wrestlers? Mine personally would have to be Twinkle Toes McFinger Bang or Jelly Nutella.
Well, let's say, I'm going to let you go. Thank you for the call. The thing is, I don't listen to enough of his shows where I know all of the names. I am aware of some of them. I'm trying to think of the one that made me laugh. It wasn't Omega. It was somebody else. I'm trying to think of who it was. Oh, I think it might've been Marco Stunted Growth. That one, I think that one got a laugh out of me. So I would probably go with that one. If it was him, maybe it was somebody else who I heard say that. But I think it was Marco Stunted Growth. That one I like. That one I liked. Let's go to New York. 347, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, what's going on, Solo Monster? What's going on, man?
I'm good. How's it going?
Same old, different day. World still wilding out, going crazy. I just want to ask you a couple of questions. Number one, as CM Punk in AEW, you think, you know, he's a babyface now. You think they're going to turn him heel? Number two, how you feel about Jade Cargill as a wrestler? She got the goods, she got everything else, but she's kind of like messed up in the ring. And number three, what was your favorite Nintendo 64 wrestling game?
All right, we'll start from the last question. Say the last one again. I didn't get the last question.
What was your favorite Nintendo 64 wrestling game?
All right. Well, I didn't own the Nintendo 64. I only played it at a friend's house. I think that was the one that had No Mercy, which I think is still probably one of the best wrestling games ever made. So,
right.
That might have been the only N64 game I ever played. So I would go with No Mercy. The second question about Jade Cargill, I think she's fantastic. I mean, just in terms of her look, she looks like a star. I think, you know, WWE, apparently she turned them down. It wasn't a case where they passed on her. Because I was thinking, why would they pass on her if they had the chance to sign her? And then I think she said in an interview that she turned them down after a tryout. Because how can you not look at this woman and think,
this woman, you could make a million bucks.
She looks fantastic, and you could absolutely, even if she's inexperienced, you know, she had her first match in that tag match with Shaq. She didn't look terrible, and she's only had about 9 or 10 matches since then. She's still very, you know, green, obviously.
Green, but yeah.
I think she's going to be, you know, she's going to be the future, I think, of that division at some point. So I think she's great. And the first question was what?
A CM Punk situation. He's a babyface now. You think AEW going to turn him heels sooner or later? You think that's going to happen?
Definitely? Yeah, of course. He'll be, at some point, he'll be a heel. Yeah, absolutely. Not for a while. There's no need to turn him heel now.
Yeah, because he right now, he's super popular. To me, in my opinion, he blew everybody out with what's going on with the debut and things. So yeah, but I just want to know, you think he's gonna be healing AEW soon?
No, later. No time soon. Later on, yeah, but no time in the near future.
Appreciate it, man. You the real Orange Cassidy. The other one's ducking you.
The other one's a poser. He's a phony. You tell him I said that too. He's a fraud. He's afraid of me.
I was looking for him on that damn cruise.
He chickened out. Now he's going on the cruise because he knows I ain't going to be there. He's a coward, is what he is. Cowardly Cassidy is what we're going to call him from now on. You tell him I said that. Tell him to stop dressing like me.
Man.
All right.
Hey, nice talking to you, man. You know, hold it down, man. I love your show.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Have a good one. That's right. You tell him I said that. You deliver that message. The Cowardly Cassidy. 978.
Hey, Soul Monster.
Who am I talking to here?
This is Luke Soap.
Oh, Luke, what's going on?
Not much. I just thought it'd be great to call in because you're doing calls today. So
yeah.
That'd be great to call in.
That's great. Yeah, no, I haven't done calls in a while. I'm glad you made it through.
Of course. So I got a question. So, a while ago, you said that Lance Archer is someone who would thrive on the WWE roster. Is there anyone else on the AEW roster who you think would thrive in WWE?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a whole bunch of names that, I mean, the question, of course, is, you know, would they get pushed properly? But I look at that roster and I see someone like MJF. I guess the problem there is they have The Miz, and I think that MJF would not be allowed to be the MJF that we see on TV now. So like a watered down MJF is basically The Miz. So that would be my only concern there. But I think they'd be crazy to have a guy like that and misuse him. I think he would do well. I think someone like a Darby Allin could get over just naturally, you know, even though he's a smaller guy. I think he probably would do well. I think Wardlow, right? He's got the size. He can talk from what we've heard. I think he would do well. So, yeah, I think a lot of those guys would do well, especially if Vince McMahon liked him. If Vince McMahon doesn't like him, then they ain't going to do so well.
Yeah. And my last question, well, it's not really a question. It's just that I agree with you that that Rampage was just all right or okay. I mean, the first match was pretty good, the opener, but, like, the rest of the show was pretty bland.
Yeah, the rest of the show was a total waste of time.
Yeah. Well, Saw Monster, I appreciate your time taking my call.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for calling in.
Of course. See you.
All right. Have a good one. That was Luke. Luke Soap calling in. And now we will move on to 702. Who am I talking to?
Hi, Saw Monster. This is David from Las Vegas.
Hey, David.
How you doing?
Good.
I got a question about do you think Darby Allin is the right opponent for CM Punk going into All Out?
I do.
You do? Why do you say that?
I think it's a great attraction to put on the pay-per-view. You have a guy in Darby Allin who is a star on the rise. He's got Sting with him. And I like what they've done with Sting being associated with Darby. I think it's helped elevate Darby, his profile, especially in the eyes of just casual fans who had no idea who he was. So I think him going in there with Punk is a huge opportunity for him. Even though he's probably going to lose, I think it would be crazy for Punk to lose. Even though he's going to lose, it's not going to hurt him. And I think if he goes in there and has a competitive match with Punk, and I don't think that, you know, Darby is going to get booed out of the building. He'll get boos. But I think, you know, he'll have his fans, I think, in Chicago that night. And I think if he struggles and fights and it's a, you know, competitive match and then he passes out in the Anaconda Vice or, you know, even if he gets pinned, it's still going to be a huge match for him. I would say the biggest match of his career. So I like the fact that him being in there elevates him, but I just think he's also going to be a great opponent for Punk because you know he's going to bump all over the place for him. I think it's just a great, you know, kind of a combination of styles. I don't know what to expect with Punk because we haven't seen him in a match in 7.5 years, but I like the combo of the two of them together, so I like everything about it.
I definitely agree. I think it's going to show that AEW believes in Darby Allin for sure, like to put that much like star power on him, like to elevate him with Punk. I think it's a good choice.
Yeah, no, without question. I mean, I love everything about it as far as him being the very first opponent, and you could always come back to it later on if you want to do a bigger program. I figure this is just a one and done, but my God, I mean, if you're Darby and you're in there with Punk in the middle of the ring and let's be honest, what's going to be the real main event of that pay-per-view in Chicago in front of 10,000 people on pay-per-view? I mean, it doesn't get any bigger than that.
That's true. That is true. All right, Solid Monster. I appreciate you taking my call. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in. Let's see. We got a super chat from Jay Culler. Dropping $10. Just send this message here. This is what happens when you try to do a billion things at once here. I'm a one-man operation here. With the news emerging today about the No Indie Guys edict and the new logo and theme debuting tonight during SmackDown, what are your thoughts on what we have seen of the NXT rebrand so far? We have not seen anything from the rebrand outside of the new logo. Let's just say that. We are not going to see what the new NXT really looks like until September 14th. That is the next live episode of NXT. NXT for the next 2 weeks is being taped because they are making renovations to the Performance Center. And those renovations are going to include, among other things, more lights, more colors. They're going to light this thing up like a Christmas tree because they think NXT is too dark. And it is. It is a little on the dark side ever since they moved into the COVID Coliseum. So we really haven't seen what the new NXT is going to visually look like. We'll know in 2 weeks. As far as the No Indie Guys edict, I think it's dumb to say No Indie Guys. I think that's just fucking stupid. I think it's fine if you want to have a mix. You don't just want to pull from the indies. If you find someone, like let's say Gable Steveson wants to sign with WWE. The guy just won an Olympic gold medal in wrestling. For all we know, he could be the next Kurt Angle. They would be crazy not to go after him and want to bring him in. He is a legitimate athlete who is a huge WWE fan. So obviously you want to go after people like that, not just indie guys. But this thing of like, all right, we're going to shy away and not do any indie guys anymore is absolutely ridiculous. And I saw Tony Khan's response on Twitter, which he posted a meme or like a GIF saying, okay, we'll take 18 of them. You know, it's like you're just going to hand all of these guys over to these other promotions, including AEW. And I'm not saying that, you know, they should sign every indie guy, right? They already did that for years. They were trying to anyway. But there's going to be some diamonds in the rough there on the independent scene that I think you can make a lot of money with, who are great athletes and great wrestlers and, you know, have a lot of charisma and I don't know, to just sort of limit yourself to this other pool of less experienced people. You know, just because they're athletes doesn't mean they're going to work out in wrestling or not get hurt. I just think it's incredibly dumb. And I don't know why you would want to limit yourself. I just, these edicts are so stupid. You know, every now and then when we hear about an edict where it's like only 6'2 and 240, right? We've heard that over the years off and on. Vince McMahon goes through these phases where he's looking for nobody under 6'2, nobody under 240. I have a better edict. You want to know what my edict is? You want to know what the Solomon Monster recruitment policy would be if I were running things in WWE? I would have scouts all over the world. I would have scouts in this country. I would have scouts in Canada. I would have scouts in Japan. I would have scouts in Europe. I would have scouts in Australia. I would have scouts in Mexico. All over the place. You're a billion-dollar company. You can afford to have people in different parts of the world to go and scout talent, to go and scout wrestlers. And you know what I would want? I would want to sign the people who are the best at what they do and the ones who I think have the most potential to grow into a big star because they can work, because they can talk, because they look the part. They're the complete package. And there's a lot of independent people who would fall under those terms. I would certainly not be like, let's ignore all the independent people. Let's ignore the people who are actually out there wrestling, who want to do this, who have a passion for this. Let's just ignore them, and we'll go after rugby players. We'll go after soccer players. We'll go after... It's just ridiculous to me. I would want people out there scouting the best possible talent, regardless of where they are from. If they're a wrestler, great. If they're not a wrestler, great. There was a period of time where Jim Ross and Gerald Briscoe were going out there, and they were recruiting real athletes from amateur wrestling and, you know, football, like, you know. And you had this incredible crop of talent, like a Brock Lesnar and a Shelton Benjamin and a Kurt Angle, and they turned into great wrestlers. Their recruitment system worked. They hired a lot of really talented guys. But you shouldn't just limit yourself to that. And if that's what they insist on doing, you know what? That is going to end up being a good thing for AEW. That's going to be a great thing for Ring of Honor. That's going to be a great thing for Impact. Great. Good. More talent for them. I think it's incredibly stupid. These edicts are just fucking dumb. But he goes on these kicks with what he wants. This is what he wants. That's his company, I guess, right? He can do whatever he wants. I just think it's incredibly tone deaf and stupid. But if I am a promoter with one of these other companies, I'm rubbing my hands together. I'm licking my lips. I'm ready. Less competition, right? Less competition now when you go out there looking for new talent. Although AEW seems to have more talent now than they even have time for on TV. I don't think they need too much more talent. Now they have to just focus on what to do with the existing talent that they have. Let's see. Let us go to 314.
Hey, how you doing, Solomon Monster?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, this is Jake from St. Louis. Been a long-time listener, but first-time caller.
Hey, Jake.
Hey, also, I just want to say before I get into my question and talking about AEW and what's next for CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, or I guess Bryan Danielson, I'm sorry. I want to say, hey, thanks for all the great content over last weekend, man. It's like probably one of the busiest weekends in like wrestling that I can remember, and just a lot of great coverage. So I just really appreciate all that.
Thank you. Thank you. It was the busiest week I can remember maybe ever. I mean, it was even more than WrestleMania week. It was crazy.
Yeah, totally.
But so, yeah, before you like go I on, I just want to thank you and everybody else. I mentioned this on Twitter earlier, the SummerSlam review, which hasn't even been up a full week yet, just passed 100,000 views today. So I want to say thank you to everybody who tuned into the SummerSlam review.
Well, and much love and appreciation your way for all you do.
Thank you.
So, yeah, so as I mentioned, I'm from St. Louis, and the next big AEW show outside of All Out is going to be in St. Louis. They haven't announced tickets yet, which I'm kind of surprised. Maybe they'll do that during the All Out pay-per-view, but like I said, I'm from St. Louis. I'm really pumped for Full Gear, and that's kind of what's been on my mind. So just like looking ahead to like what could be next for CM Punk and Bryan Danielson, like where would you want them to go? like possibly, like obviously we're going to get Punk and Allin All Out, you know, maybe some like Dynamite matches here and there. But as far as like the big second show with them coming in, what is your dream scenario on like where you'd like them to go?
Well, we were just talking about that a little while ago. You know, Brian, we just ran through five different ideas for Brian alone. I mean, whether it's him coming out after the Omega match, if Adam Cole comes in, you know, people might not be expecting Adam Cole to show up and ruin his debut and attack him. We had somebody who raised the issue of maybe Brian going after the TNT title, you know, in Miro. And if he wins it, he can start doing open challenges on TV, and that way he gets to work with all of the younger guys, and he's doing these open challenges on TV every week. So I think with Brian, the possibilities are endless because, you know, he's going to want to work with all those people. Punk and Darby, I see as a one-off as far as where Punk goes after that. To me, this feud is going to end. It has to end at All Out with MJF and Jericho. And regardless of who wins, and I think they already kind of tipped their hat because Jericho added the stipulation about I'll never wrestle again in AEW if I don't win. So, I mean, to me, that's kind of a dead giveaway. Even if he loses, though, MJF, he's going to move on. He's got to get away from Jericho. He's got to get away from the inner circle. Punk is going to be the perfect opponent for him. Now, maybe they won't go to that right away, but Punk and MJF has got to be a feud that they do in this company. I mean, that is near the top of the list as far as, I think, opponents for him. But I also want to see Punk and Brian go at it. You know, even if that's a one-off, you know, just as an attraction. You know, maybe they want to do that on the stadium show next month. I'd love to see that. You know, Punk, you can really put him in there. You know, Punk and Omega is the obvious one, but he's got scores to settle. All right, what about Punk and John Moxley? So I think you got a lot of options there.
Well, cool, man. Hey, I really appreciate it, and just yeah, keep your eyes out, I guess, in St. Louis for maybe Solid Monster sign at Full Gear.
Yeah, now if you do that, let me know in advance or even send me a picture so I know what it looks like. And that way I will know to look for you.
All right, man. Well, hey, I really appreciate it. Just keep up the good work.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Take care.
All right, take care. And that goes for anybody, by the way. If you're going to any of these AEW or WWE shows, and we've had people bring Solid Monster signs, sometimes they're in, you know, a section where they don't get on TV. We've had people bring signs to the shows and, you know, tweet me a photo of what it looks like, and I look and I find them, and we get a screenshot, we show it on the stream. So get those signs out there, you know. And I always tell people, if you're going to do it on a piece of a poster that is going to stand out, like a neon green or yellow, you know, with black Sharpie, something that really stands out. I've had a couple of people do signs. I think one person did, it was just white, like poster, but it was like yellow or light green. Like you couldn't even read it. I mean, there's no point in even doing that unless you're in the front row. So yeah, let's see those signs, right? Now that we got fans back in the buildings, we couldn't do that for a whole year because of fucking COVID. Now we have people back in the buildings, so we got to get the signs back out. Let's do a few more here. I thought tonight was going to be an early stream. It's 12:15 in the morning. Let's do a few more. Let's go to 502. I do believe that this is Mr. Quillman.
Hello, Mr. Monster. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty well. We had a good stream. I thought we had a good watch along, and we're doing calls here for the first time in a while, so it's going great.
Yeah, that's why I had to call in. I was like, oh, my God, I happen to catch you live. While you're taking calls. I was like, I got to call in.
I was drinking there, so excuse the awkward pause. But yes, no, I'm glad that you called in. I don't know when I'll do calls again after this, so I'm glad you called in.
Well, thank you for doing such, the watch along, all this. This was great. I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed it, and it was kind of different. And I like the hour long, you know, kind of context of it. So it was pretty good. But my question for you was, so now that we've had three rampages now, mm-hmm. what do you think that this was a good idea for an extra show? hour long, you know, scheduling. I mean, how would you rate the show, you know, as a second show?
Well, they had to do it. They had to do it because they have too much talent and they need to have that extra hour to showcase some of that talent that they don't always have time for on Dynamite. So as the roster continues to expand, they had to have at least that one extra hour. It's basically like a third hour of Dynamite, but spaced out over the course of two nights. So I think it was necessary for them to have it. I'm not overly impressed with it so far. The Punk thing was huge, but we knew it would be. But in terms of the shows themselves, you know, I think over time what you're going to see, you're going to find more shows like what we had tonight where there really isn't, I mean, they had star power tonight. The champion, you know, Kenny Omega was on the show tonight. But the show itself was really nothing special outside of the opening tag team match. They're going to have to try to give people a real reason, I think, to tune in every single week. Friday night it's a tough night. So you really, and you're not going to have CM Punk every week to, you know, debut after 7 years away. So they're going to have to figure out a way to get attractions on the show that people want to see. That's why I said, you know, I'm going live on Fridays the first few weeks covering the show. I'll be live again next Friday. That's going to be the go-home show to All Out. After that, I don't know if we're going to keep going live on Friday. I'm going to really leave that up to you guys. But I'm not sure if it'll be a permanent thing or not because I'm not sure if the show is going to be enough to really warrant the, you know, the live streaming treatment every week. We'll see. But I think they had to do it because they just have this surplus of talent that you know needs to be featured. I like the hour format. It's an easy watch. But tonight, even last week, you know, outside of the Punk stuff, not impressed by these shows so far. The first one I think was if I remember the first one I think was pretty good. But these last 2 weeks outside of CM Punk have been very underwhelming.
Would you agree that it's definitely like it's separated itself from like a Dark or an Elevation on YouTube?
I mean, it has, in that they've had CM Punk and Kenny Omega and Christian won the Impact World title. I mean, you wouldn't see stuff like that on Dark. I thought the Christian title change was really good a few weeks ago. That's why I liked that first show. So, yeah, of course, it's higher than a Dark just because they have put some names on there. But it's not just the names. It's what do you do with the names, right? I mean, I'm sorry, but Christian and Kazarian against Omega and, you know, Cutler over there, you're going to have to do better than that to hold my interest. I'm sorry.
No, I thought they should have switched. I feel like it should have been the finals for the, you know, the tag tournament.
Well, it was.
The main event.
Oh, it was the main event. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, I appreciate it. I know you got other people to get to, so I just wanted to say what's up. Wanted to ask you that. And you have a good rest of your night. Just know I'm always listening to you, whether I'm joining you live or not.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Hey, man. All right, have a good night.
All right, take it easy. Have a good weekend. I think this might be Coggies. I saw him in the chat. I hope it's him. Let's see. 570.
Which is the opposite of what you want. You want, like, a pile of organic...
I hear an echo in the background here.
Walnut husks.
570.
And other
going once.
Now, as far as
570.
Yeah, that's you.
What? Oh, shit, buddy. Hey.
I was like, I'm listening to somebody watching TV here. Yeah, what's going on?
No, man, I'm sorry. I'm at work. I was just like,
Is this Coggies?
Yeah, man.
Awesome. I saw you in the chat. You mentioned 570, and I was going to go to you next, so I'm glad I got you.
Oh, thanks for going to me. Yeah, man, how you doing? How you holding up after all these streams?
I still have a voice. I'm shocked. As long as I have a voice, I could talk.
Well, you're always killing it. Tonight was great.
You.
I was happy to see the watch along and get to groan along with you with some of the groanable moments. What the hell are they doing with Cutler? And come on, man. you know?
Yeah, you know, him and Nakazawa, it's them. It's him giving his friends a role on TV. I mean, I'm fine with him having a lackey, but I just feel like I've been seeing way too much of these guys, right? I feel like we're seeing Cutler on TV with the cold spray with the Bucks. Now he's in the main event on Rampage. We don't need to be seeing this much Mr. Cutler or Nakazawa on TV on the main shows. You want to put them on Dark? Put them on Dark. I don't think we need to be seeing them this much on TV.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I love AEW and stuff, but I kind of feel like one of the things that they suffer a little bit from is trying too much to include their buddies. Like, it's almost kind of like nepotism, but
yeah.
Non-familial nepotism, you know?
Yes, I agree. The Nightmare Family stuff, I agree.
Yeah, like getting QT on TV for no reason, yeah. Just for people to be angry, like legitimately angry. I'm just concerned also about them blowing their debut load. You know what I mean? At All Out. I know that we have to be concerned about COVID, but damn, seems like they could milk this cow. Like,
I was concerned about that too. There was a girl I dated many years ago on a first date. I was a little worried I was going to blow my debut load that night too, but I held out, you know, you got to space things out sometimes, you know? So
stay strong.
Know that feeling.
Well, Tony Khan better, you know, I don't know, work on his stamina.
Yeah, I think he's got to be like a kid in a candy shop right now with all these debuts, all these guys falling in his lap. So it's just a matter of where do you plug them in, right? You got to space them out. You don't want to throw them all out there at once.
Yeah. Well, I'll leave you with my final thoughts, which I think is really rich, that NXT has this new look and stuff, you know, and RIP NXT. We loved you. They got this like splash color logo. And I think it was like Kane or something in the chat that mentioned that definitely looks like, you know, Dynamite inspired, like splash paint. And then they got this Wale theme that is called Stay True to Self with the lyric, Never Sell Out.
I hope Adam Cole plays that song on his, on his AirPods on repeat. Never sell out.
Yeah, I hope he's jamming out to that right now.
Never sell out. Although I'm sure he's going to get paid very well regardless of where he goes.
Yeah, he'll end up fine. But hey man, thanks again for taking my call. I know you're not taking calls for a while, so it's nice to hear from you, talk to you, and I'll see you in the chat again soon.
Yeah, thank you, Coggies. I see you in the chat every week, and thank you for all the support. It means a lot.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Thanks for all the great content. We'll talk to you later.
Sounds good. That was Coggies, everybody. See him every single week. Supporting, super chatting. Love to see it. And now we have 651 on the air.
What is up, Salamonster? Very, very long time no see.
I know. It's been quite a while.
So if everyone doesn't know, it's your famous Rican Sun 21, part of the Essential Jockasses. Shout out to them.
Rican Sun joining us tonight.
So, first off, I'm going to the Orlando show in October. So totally, I'm going to make a sign, post it, and hopefully you guys see it on the hard cam.
Where are you sitting?
And then, I think it's like section 114, so it's on the camera side of the arena.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Let me know when the date comes. Just let me know so I know what to look for.
Absolutely. And real quick, before I get to my question, Salamonster, next time you come to Orlando, I will totally, with all my heart, I will take you to my job. We got this amazing, like, crispy Brussels sprouts that I know you'll love.
Are they wrapped in bacon?
They are not. They are not, no.
I would try them
out. But it has, like, has cashew sauce and mayo sriracha on it.
I didn't know where you were going with that. You said you were going to take me to work. Like it's, you know, take your favorite podcaster to work day or something. That would have been a little weird. You'd have to do like a speech in front of a whole group of people or something.
No, I mean, if you want to, I will.
No. Well, without telling me obviously what company it is, what kind of company is it? Like what do you do?
I'm not going to laugh. It's called Cooper Talk. It's some like fancy winery/restaurant.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, they have lots and lots of like steak, chicken, a lot of stuff.
That sounds good to me.
So my question to you is, do you think the Jurassic Express, do you think they might become like end zone cats of NXT where they are a hot act, but they will never get the tag team titles, maybe because Jungle Boy might get too hot too early?
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I could see them having a split at some point before they have a chance to win the tag team belts. You know what sucks? I think the pandemic hurt them, because before everything got shut down, if you remember the reactions they were getting, I mean, they were getting bigger reactions than they do now. And this is before they even had the Baltimore music that Tony Khan paid for. So I think that that kind of hurt them a little bit. Yeah, I don't really see the tag titles in their future anytime soon after this loss tonight. So it's possible that they end up not winning the belts and we just get to a point where Jungle Boy ends up branching out on his own and we never really get that tag team title run. It's possible.
Okay, and thank you for everything that you do. I've been listening since I was in high school, like 2010. But just want to say, going to rub it in, Yankees are winning right now, so we're about to hit that 13-win streak, and I'm very excited for your Mets.
Oh, boy. You had to go there.
I had to. I'm sorry.
Had to go there. All right, well, hey, you said your piece. I allowed you to say your piece, and you're welcome.
Take care, Fall Monster.
All right, take care. You too. Yeah, I know there was a rain delay earlier. There was a Met game that was supposed to start. I forgot what time, but it was raining for a good part of the evening here in New York, but it's been quiet now the last few hours, so I think it's died down. Let's go over to these last two Super Chats. Bob the Builder says, Hugh G... Well, this... Okay, well, he's talking about Hugh Morris's old gimmick in WCW. Hugh G. Rection, yes. Very funny. That was a Vince Russo. I believe that was a Vince Russo idea. And Devin from New Jersey, 2000, dropping $5. You should do a spinoff of you and Luis solving mysteries. Solomonster solves off. It was somebody else in the chat who just suggested I have a gardening show called Solomonster Grounds Off. You guys are getting ridiculous with these suggestions. What do I know about gardening? I got a plant once. Somebody, I was at some kind of event, and the plant was a take-home gift. And they gave, like, instructions on what you're supposed to do, and the soil, and you're supposed to water it, and the fucking thing in the garbage. What am I going to do with it? Where am I gardening here in Brooklyn? I don't have a garden. I don't have a yard. I mean, we have a yard, but it's not my yard. So it ended up in the landfill where it belongs. All the gardeners now are going to be very upset with me that I said that. All right, so we're caught up now with your Super Chats. On OnlyFans, Mike Laundry says Solomonster pounds off. Temjin says Solomonster grounds off. What is he, Bob Ross? No, there's only one Bob Ross. I can never be Bob Ross. As Bob Ross says, there are no mistakes in life. There are only happy accidents. But then again, Bob Ross never watched WWE programming, or else he wouldn't be saying that. Mario DeRose. Buy or sell? Jake Paul or Tyrone Woodley? I'll go Woodley. It's because I have no use for the Paul brothers. I love, by the way, how in that segment on Raw Monday night, they had Jake Paul... Or Logan Paul. They had Logan Paul on Moist TV. I can't even believe I'm talking about that. But Moist TV. And The Miz came out and he made a comment asking, he goes, so what round is your brother going to be knocked out in this weekend? And he got a huge babyface reaction. So they actually thought that Logan Paul, they booked him really, if you think about what they did, as a babyface. They thought he would actually get cheered, or they could get him cheered as a babyface. And instead, they almost turned the Miz babyface on Monday night because these people are morons. Yeah, I did see the documentary, the Bob Ross documentary. They don't slander him. It's not an expose on him or anything. It's about, unfortunately, a lot of the squabbling and stuff. There's business partners of his who control really his entire likeness and name, and have cut the family out of it's a really sad, really angering documentary when you hear about the things that, you know, this couple did and how heavy-handed they were in terms of controlling everything Bob Ross, even on his deathbed as he was dying of cancer. Yeah, you know, there's one scene in the documentary where his son says he rarely heard his father yell. And he can remember phone calls where his father would be, you know, in the bedroom. He could hear him yelling, like, you know, you're not going to have my name, you can't own me, and stuff like that. And the man's dying of cancer. So it's very sad, but it doesn't slander him. It doesn't slander Bob Ross. If you're worried about that, you don't have to worry. It's you know, he's not outed as some kind of predator or something, you know, something horrible like that. Although his son does say that his father had an affair and cheated on his first wife. But aside from that, it does not slander him in any way. All right, so we are about 2.5 hours in here. This was fun. I had a good time hanging out with everybody tonight. And we still have people, though. The lines are all jammed. I'll tell you what. I am ready to get out of here in a minute, but we'll take two more calls. Try to make it quick. I want to make sure I get this person on the phone. 516.
What's up, Jason?
What's going on? This is Jared, our old friend Jared, joining us tonight from...
You're taking calls. I got to call in, right?
It's been a while. It's been a minute, as they say.
I watched that special last night. Killer Kowalski was the enemy. I'm Bob Ross.
That's right.
Come on, you know you wouldn't hear it, but Walter Kowalski. I was like, okay.
I tell you what, I thought that it didn't hit me right away, you know, because the husband
hit me right away.
So the husband and wife couple that I was just referring to, who basically stole Bob Ross's name, they're the Kowalskis, but the husband's name is Walter. So his name is Walter Kowalski. And as I'm like,
about a third the size.
Yeah, but it was weird is that this guy used to work for the CIA, which is very strange. Like, you know, that he got into this business relationship with this husband and wife, and the husband was a retired CIA. I don't know what he did for the CIA, but. Yeah, Walter Kowalski. Phones. Definitely is not the same Walter Kowalski who ripped off UConn Eric's ear.
Triple H.
Yeah, or trained Triple H. That's right.
I just thought that was funny. It was nice to read that Gangrel actually got paid from Tony Khan, even though that didn't go off like they planned with the bloodbath. And just to make it quick, Jason, I do think Adam Cole is coming to AEW, and there is an influx, and there's going to be a barrage. I don't know how he's going to do all this, but I know in 2 months down the line, you know, the Fiend, Bray, is available. I'm having a hard time trying to fit him into this little, you know, pond of AEW, his personality, unless he comes up with a whole new real character here.
Well, that's why I said I think Impact might be the better play for him. But my suggestion was one, and people told me that no, the Dark Order said that they don't want anybody to replace Brody Lee.
No, I don't want to see that.
But I'm just saying, if I look at the landscape in AEW and where he might fit in, unless he completely reinvents himself with a totally new character, like the opposite of what he was in WWE, unless he does that, you have to admit, The Dark Order, if they want to take it in a dark direction, which it is not a dark faction. I know it's in the name, but they are they're a comedy troupe. But given the connection to Brody, I mean, you can sort of play off that and say that, you know, here he is. It means something to him to sort of, he sees the dissension going on. And he realizes that this is, you know, this is not what Brody would want. Like, you guys, you know, you're fracturing at the seams here. And then he's the one that sort of unites them again. Unless that's, you know, something that they all want to do, I also struggle to see where he might fit in. So when I hear that maybe Impact has interest, I'm not so sure that that wouldn't be the better play for him, at least initially, for him to go there for a while.
Do you think he wants to be in front of 10 fans every week? I mean, a guy like that, with that type of creativity.
You know what? That's 10 more fans than he's been, that's 10 more fans than he's been in front of for the majority of this year.
That is true. That is true. But, I just wanted to run that by you. Get to your other calls. Good talking to you, Jason.
All right, you too, man.
Bye.
That was Jared wondering where Bray Wyatt might end up, assuming, of course, that he ends up anywhere. But the belief is that he doesn't want to leave wrestling, so he's going to land somewhere. It's a tougher fit for him, I think, in AEW than it would be for a Punk or a Bryan. You can more easily plug them into a lot of different programs. Bray, I guess, even Malakai Black, you know, they brought him in, and he's already doing a dark type of character. You bring Bray in to do the same thing, it's almost like, well, you already have Malakai. So where does he really fit into the puzzle? I don't know that he does. And we'll end with this. 213.
What's up, Paul Monster?
Oh, my goodness. I'm hearing voices. Is it? Could it be? As Michael Cole would say, could it be? It is the one and only Luis joining us tonight. Luis, how are you?
Not that much. And you?
I'm doing great. I'm giving you the last word here. So what do you have? What do you have for us?
So I'm finally going to a WWE event after a long fucking time.
Oh, wow. Well, when and where?
Ontario on October 15th. I believe it's on the 15th. I don't remember.
Okay. Well, I assume that's a live event then, right? That's a house show?
No, that's SmackDown.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm actually in
the- Okay. Oh. That's right. That's a Friday. That must be a Friday then, because I believe October 15th is the date that Halloween Kills comes out in theaters. So I will not be watching SmackDown that night. I will be at the movie theater.
But you're going to miss Rampage as well, huh?
Well, that's true. We'll see. We'll see. If it's, it might not be best for business. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But I will definitely be seeing that movie. But anyway, yes, have fun. Is that your first event in a very long time?
Yeah, ever since before the pandemic, to be honest.
Okay, well, I hope you have a blast. Is there anything else you wanted to mention here?
So, I do have a question. Like, really, are they really doing Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia? Or at Extreme Rules?
They're not doing it at Extreme Rules. Based on what they did tonight, it looks like it's going to be Finn Balor. So the earliest that they would do the match is Saudi Arabia. They could also do it at Survivor Series. But usually Survivor Series is Raw versus SmackDown. So I would think Saudi Arabia might be the place. What the prince wants, the prince gets. I don't make the decisions.
And I really hate seeing Dominic Mysterio getting his ass kicked by Sami Zayn, which I'm actually watching SmackDown right now because the internet didn't want to cooperate with me 3 hours ago.
Well, I was just happy that it wasn't Adam Cole. I thought for sure Adam Cole was coming out as the mystery man, and when Sammy's music hit, I breathed a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
All right, so Super Hot anyway, in the chat, Super Hot in the chat says they're doing Roman and Balor next week. So, apparently,
well, not for the championship.
Well, I don't know, because I had to tune away from SmackDown at the very end because I went live here 5 minutes before the top of the hour. So I did not see the last 5 minutes of SmackDown. I knew Balor came out. I did not know if they made an announcement of when that match would be. But even if they do it on TV, I wouldn't expect there to be a decisive finish. They'll probably bring him back at the pay-per-view. So I think that's going to be the Extreme Rules match.
And who do you think will face Bobby Lashley at Extreme Rules?
Too early.
Drew McIntyre either.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be him. I know him. And, I know Lashley and Sheamus are having a match on TV this Monday, but I can't imagine that's the pay-per-view match with two heels. So I think it's just too early to tell. I don't think Goldberg. If they do the Goldberg rematch, and I pray to God they don't. That I could see that in Saudi Arabia. I don't see that at Extreme Rules. So,
fuck Bill Goldberg.
That's right.
Fuck Bill Goldberg.
That's right. But I think that, in any event, I think it's too early to tell. So we'll have to wait and see. We should get a sense on Monday, I guess, depending on what happens at Lashley and Sheamus or who comes out. You know, Goldberg is going to get revenge for Sundberg at some point. I know it's coming. It's just a matter of time, so... We'll have to wait and see. But listen, Luis, I'm glad I got you through. I haven't talked to you in a while, and I haven't seen you in the chat or the super chats or anything recently. So it's good to know that you're still alive and well. And I'm sure we will we'll have to hear from you again soon.
Yeah, at least for now, because we're technically having a COVID scare right now.
Well, so is Pat McAfee. That's why he's not on TV the next 2 weeks. We wish Pat McAfee all the best. The guy had 104 degree fever. He was burning up the other day, but he's apparently doing much better today. So that's good to know.
Yeah. All right, Solo Monster. Good night, and hopefully next time we get to talk a lot longer than this.
All right. Well, I don't know if the chat agrees, but we'll definitely talk again soon. All right, buddy.
All right, good night.
All right, have a good night. That was the one and only Luis. We have not, boy, I haven't taken a call from him in a very long time. He only wishes the call could have been a lot longer. I don't know if everybody in the chat would agree with that, though. And Bulu Fatulu gets the last word here. He just dropped $5. Thank you, Bulu. Buy or sell. American History X or Heat? Heat. Gotta be Heat. Heat is one of my favorite movies. Michael Mann, 1995, first on-screen meeting of Pacino and De Niro. Oh, such a great movie. Great soundtrack, too. They got a great Moby song that plays at the very end of the movie. Anyway, Heat gets my vote. Thank you, guys. This has been fun. We went a lot later than I expected to, but I think we had a good time here. Let me know what you thought of this watch-along in the chat once the video goes up, or shoot me a message on Twitter. If you loved it, I'll retweet you. And I think, one of these again at some point in the not-too-distant future. Again, this was not meant to be a weekly thing, but I think for a one-shot here, for a taped one-hour rampage, I think it's fine. And thank you to everybody who called in. I do appreciate all your support. Again, thank you for getting that SummerSlam review. I noticed earlier to 100, I think it's 101,000 views now. That is awesome. And I will see you on Sunday. That's going to be episode 719. Be well. Stay safe. Thank you again for all the support. I'm out for real this time. And I will see you for episode 719. Of the podcast coming up on Sunday. Take care, guys. Have a good weekend.